flooded when Irene hit. People in Carson City, Nevada are shocked after four people were gunned down at an IHOP restaurant. This man says it's sad. Three of the victims were National Guard troops who survived combat only to be killed at home.
Can you imagine going through all that crap and then you come home, you're having breakfast and somebody... It's insane.
Police say a man with an AK-47 rifle shot up the restaurant before taking his own life. The U.S. Postmaster General told Congress the Postal Service could go broke by this time next year if changes aren't made. Senator Tom Coburn says layoffs will probably be necessary.
We have a great Postal Service group of employees, but we just have too many of them for the volume of mail that we have.
One thing being considered to save money is ending Saturday mail delivery. The 10th anniversary of 9/11 is Sunday. John Miller, former Assistant Director of National Intelligence, says even though Osama bin Laden is dead, Al-Qaeda is still extremely dangerous.
When it comes to who's going to blow a plane out of the sky, who's going to put a truck bomb in a U.S. city, who's going to attack a U.S. embassy overseas, Al-Qaeda is still number one on the hit parade.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
It's back to college. Time to learn about new things, like the fact that you can walk into a Walmart wireless center and walk out with a fully activated smartphone. Get the Sharp FX from AT&T, the HTC Wildfire S from T-Mobile, and the Samsung Continuum from Verizon. Just $28.88 each. Your new phone will work right away, which is more than we can say when you graduate with that art degree in glass blowing. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Prices with two-year new agreement are qualified two-year extension plan. Data plan required. Brand and assortment availability varies by location.
New York Life Insurance Company is still strong, still stable, and still hiring. By becoming an agent with New York Life, you can make a difference in your local community by helping families secure their financial futures. Regardless of your experience level, our comprehensive training and world-class marketing support help make it easy to establish your business. To learn more about how you can help families achieve peace of mind, visit newyorklife.com/careers, an equal opportunity employer.
Wall Street bulls may get back to work this morning after bears have ruled stock markets so far this month. After a third day of red ink yesterday, stock futures are showing signs of a rebound. S&P futures adding about 8.5 points. NASDAQ ahead 21. Dow futures rising 82, following global stock markets to the plus side. Yahoo may lend some support to Wall Street gains this morning. Its shares rose in after-hours trading following the announcement that Chief Executive Carol Bartz was out at the Internet search engine. After a two-year reign, impatience was growing with Bart's ability to turn Yahoo around. She'll be replaced temporarily by Chief Financial Officer Tim Morse. There are also big changes at Bank of America as it tries to navigate choppy global markets and the mortgage mess. Two senior executives are out, Sally Krawcheck and Joe Price. Bank of America shares are rising in early trading. Oil prices moving higher by about a half dollar now, $86.55 a barrel. I'm Steve Potusk from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If I set it free, I wonder how far it will go.
We're CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans across the country to what matters most. We're committed to providing better service with consistently fast speeds and five-year price lock guarantees. And since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest, straightforward service delivered by real people who are happy to help you explore what's next. See how far you might go. CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
We're fashion retailers.
Wine wholesalers.
A surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners.
To fuel innovation and a new economy.
And to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
College. Time to get smart. And Walmart has the latest smartphones from the best carriers starting at 97 cents. Like the Samsung Captivate from AT&T, the LG Optimus S from Sprint, and the Samsung Gem from Verizon. And at just 97 cents, it's no wonder it's called a smartphone. Of course, you could pay a lot more for a smartphone, but then you'd have less for the essentials, like tipping the pizza guy, which ironically is also 97 cents. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Prices with two-year new agreement are qualified two-year extension plan. Data plan required. Brand and assortment availability varies by location.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I'd have taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you. A pleasure, as always, to entertain you on this Wednesday morning as we have a holiday-shortened week and already Wednesday, which is a good thing. A lot going on today. I'm very excited. In the legislature, the state legislature, fully back in session. The governor doing harm yesterday. Signing into law a welfare reform measure that will, as of October 1st, kick 41,000 people off the welfare rolls, punishing children all over the state of Michigan. But it's okay. The conservatives are happy. And if the conservatives are happy, well, then everything is good with the world. And we're going to get to first word here in just a minute because I got something to say about that. This morning, we're going to visit with Greg Starts from GJS Consulting. He has been doing some stupendous work on behalf of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. And today there will be droves of people that will go knock on legislators' doors and ask them to think more holistically about the spirit of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, because we're going to continue to follow that story. Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour today. To talk about President Obama's visit to Michigan, the Labor Day festivities at L. And so we'll very, very much look forward to doing that. But it is that time of the morning, and we do need to pay a little attention to this.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
The first word, yes. Yesterday, the governor signed into law a lifetime limit on cash benefits through the welfare program here in the state of Michigan, and he said, I quote, "I know it's difficult, but sometimes doing the right thing is hard." Well, I don't disagree with that, Governor Snyder. What I do disagree with is this idea that off the backs of what begins with 41,000, which will soon creep up to 100,000, Michiganders who will have absolutely no means to pay their bills, to buy food, to buy diapers, to buy formula. Oh, that's right. They can go on the WIC program because there's always a program to help those liberals who are too lazy to work. Is that how I understand it? That most of the people on welfare are just caught up in this cycle of despair, that we're actually doing them a favor by taking the hand away that's been feeding them. Yeah, that sounds like a good conservative plan. I'm sure the teabaggers are thrilled this morning and celebrating all over the state of Michigan, because we know, as of October 1st, thousands upon thousands of people will suffer. You don't think that's a difficult thing? Well, you better hold on to the job while you got it, because one day, you know what? It could be you. Oh, that's right. You'll have 4 years. You don't need to worry about it, right? Well, what you may find out is that it's going to take more than 4 years for you to get your you-know-what back together again. And that is our first word this morning. Disgusted by what the governor did yesterday. You know, Jeffrey, I'm feeling really good today. Do you like the new hats, the first shift hats? Todd obviously doesn't because his are sitting on a pile, you know, in the corner. He's forgotten about us already. So I'll just talk to you. Do you like your first shift hat?
And he reluctantly took a few hats. I mean, I, on the other hand, was like, give me as much as... No, I'm just kidding. Giving Todd a little crap this morning. I think they're great. They fit nice, and they look good, so I'm wearing it proudly.
I'm good.
You already got a couple of snapshots we'll put up on Facebook.
Yeah, in fact, I'll do that during the break. I can. That's why they call it a smartphone. It's a whole lot smarter than I am.
I know people are just dying to see how they look. So.
They're very sharp.
They are.
Made in the USA.
Got the union bug on there.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy. And the question is, how do our listeners get hats? And that is the key to this. We're going to give some of them away. We're going to have to sell them, though. These were not cheap to get. And I think that they're nice, and I certainly will from time to time be giving some of them away. But just to mail them alone is going to cost up to $5. So we've got to be a little bit careful because, hey, after all, the First Shift with Tony Trupiano is a business, and I'm sure the conservatives we'll understand that, and we'll gladly pay whatever we charge for these hats, because it is a free market mentality, after all, is it not?
It's capitalism at its best.
At its best, I tell you. But they are beautiful hats, and we'll certainly get a picture of it up on the website. And we just got them yesterday, so I'm pretty happy to have them. Interesting day politically yesterday, Jeff. And I got to tell you, we're going to talk about it a little bit later on in the show. We've got plenty of open line time today, but you know, it seems to me that as we start again to focus on legislative issues, and of course Congress is back in session today as well on the federal level, as we start to focus more on issues, we really, you know, and we're coming off a pretty fantastic weekend, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about James Hoffa's comments to the Detroit audience this weekend. But Jeff, at some level, when we think about things legislatively, don't you find it a little bit childish that you get a guy like Jimmy Hoffa comes out and says the right thing, says what needs to be said, and all of a sudden he's some kind of evil demon? All he did was tell the truth.
Yeah, and it's getting torn apart, too, because they broke it down into the smallest soundbite. And again, we called out, I mean, to be completely fair, Tony, when the Black Cloud comment happened, and that was like a week and a half ago, you completely said they took it out of context. You said it wasn't a big deal, that this is stupid for the Democrats to break down, and MSNBC eventually apologized for.
And we didn't even air that audio.
No, so we were fair on that issue. To break this one down and to not play the entire comment is being unfair as well. The very first part of it, we have audio that we'll play later on. He says, you have a vote. Let's take them out.
Right.
Take them out with a vote. That means take them out of office, not take them out in some violent rhetoric that they're now saying. Like I said to you, if you break it down and just say, let's take them out to dinner, take them out shopping. I mean, you can go anywhere with take them out.
Absolutely. And they've totally blown this out of proportion just very quickly. Because I shared this with Jeff this morning. I get an email late in the afternoon. I had posted the video of James Hoffa's speech in Detroit, part of it, just a part of it. And so I posted it to the Facebook page, the First Shift Facebook page. And so somebody sends me an email late in the afternoon, a conservative listener, and he identified himself as, hey, I'm a conservative listener to your program. I'll call him just generic Joe for all intents and purposes. And, hey, they're beating up on some guy in your Facebook page, and you know, things are out of control, and you really need to moderate that. You know, this is wrong, you know, so on. So I went, wow, okay. So I go over to the Facebook page, and I'm looking and I'm trying to figure out, you know, where the vitriol is. I can't find it. And yeah, there's some debating going on, but you know, I don't see anything harmful. So I write the guy back, you know, what's the big deal? You know, he gives me this lecture about responsibility and you know, tone and language. And sweet God, people, really, really, you know, first of all, if you're going to have the, if you're going to post on Facebook of all things, which is, you know, a social media website, and somebody's going to attack you, you got it coming to you. It's that simple. But he wasn't even being attacked. People were just disagreeing with the guy. In fact, they're still disagreeing with the guy as we roll out the morning. So get over it, folks. It's that simple. There's nothing difficult about this. I'm proud of what James Hoffa did on Monday, and I think many of you are as well. We're going to give you plenty of opportunity to discuss that as we work our way through the day today. You know, if you're not happy with what he said, you'll have the opportunity to discuss that as well. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. And we want to remind you, we're really pushing the Twitter thing now because we're moving in that direction. On Twitter, at Tony Trupiano, at TonyTrupiano. Let us go to the phones. Welcome my good friend Tom to the show. Tom, welcome to First Shift. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to hear your voice this morning.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't have a problem with what Hoffa said because he was not talking about a, to my impression here, a violent physical taking out.
Of course he wasn't.
Going to the polls and voting these folks out. Now, the word that he used, okay, it was rather crass, okay, but when you look at what Michelle Bachmann said about, okay, I'm black, about we took care of one another better when we were on the plantation. And I mean, you know, the comments that have been made by, you know, about President Obama calling him a tar baby. I mean, come on, you know, let's go ahead and get real with this thing.
Well, you know, if we want to go tit for tat, if you will, Tom, we mm-hmm. would, we, and I mean liberals, the Democrats, we would win that because there are a whole lot more examples that work on the other side than work, you know, than we've done. You know, I'm not saying we're always the politest people in the world. Tom, you've listened to me for years. Sometimes I come unglued and I say things that maybe are a little on the edge. But you know what? It's free speech, bud. Free
That's
speech.
Right.
Free speech. That's all.
Right.
It's called free speech.
As long as you don't threaten the President of the United States, you can say anything you want to about anybody.
Absolutely. And, in fact, in California, you can even threaten the President of the United States and get away with it, and they call it free speech now.
Yeah, that's true, too. You know what? If I got time, could I refer to an article that was in Sunday's paper by Nolan Finley?
Yeah, please do.
It says, White House pal fails union. And he talks about no president in recent memory has, you know, thrown his support behind unions as much as President Obama has. Then he goes on to say, but still, labor is unhappy. Richard Trumka, president of the AFL-CIO, and one of those expected in Detroit on Monday, accused the president of focusing on quote-unquote little nibbly things and threatens to break away the union from the Democratic Party in 2012. You know what? Unless Trumka is going to eat his words come next year, I mean, that rousing, speech that he gave in regards to President Obama, it doesn't sound like a man that's ready to break, you know, the union support away from it.
Yeah, and we got to get to the break, Tom, but you're 100% right. Nolan Finley, again, using his First Amendment rights, totally twisted what Trumka said. We got to get to the break. We're up against the clock. We'll be back. This is First Shift. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Things are looking great out there on the roads right now. Of course, road construction, we do have some of that. MD9 eastbound, that ramp to northbound 75 is currently closed. And then throughout that entire stretch between Updike and Crooks on MD9, you will find it down to just two lanes. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy. Some showers are likely a little bit later on. A high in the upper 60s. Some gusty winds out of the northeast as well. Tonight, showers likely cloudy. A low in the upper 50s. And then tomorrow, once again, mostly cloudy. Maybe a chance for a shower in there, too. Currently, it's bare and 57 at Detroit City Airport.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work.
Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Recently on First Shift,
State Senator Bert Johnson.
I guess I'm breaking it here on the Tony Trupiano Show that I'm in fact going to be running in the 13th district, and can't tell you the amount of support that I'm getting from the community, and frankly the number of people who have called me to say, Bert, here's what you should do based on what we see as the tea leaves saying. So it will be the 13th congressional district. I live in the city of Highland Park. Highland Park is within the 13th district, and this is going to be some kind of ride next summer, Tony, and I invite you to come and take it with me.
Absolutely.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 13 WDTW. Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. I have uploaded pictures of the infamous hat modeled by one and only Jeffrey Radford. You stud muffin, you. Becoming the model of the show. How do you feel about that? Do I have to pay you more for that?
Hey, that sounds like a good idea, actually.
I'm sure it does to you. Tell you what, I'll pay you in hats. How's that?
I'll take six.
Ton. Hey, man, 10 to 1, what does that say to you?
What does 10 to 1 say to me?
Yeah.
That's when you get ready for Tigers baseball?
Yeah, well, what was the score last night's game?
Oh, it was probably 10 to 1.
It was 10 to 1, man. You had a rough night, just to let people know. Not that I need to share your entire personal life, but your car broke down yesterday.
Yeah, so I listened to the game, and then when it got out of hand, I stopped paying complete attention. But, yeah, I was more interested in just trying to get home last night. So.
Well, the Tigers win again. Listen, we still have 20 games left in the year, and it's not over till it's over. I get all that. But, Jeff, you got to feel awfully good about where the Tigers are at right now.
Oh, certainly, because the way the schedule works out, they play most, I think, almost all of the games against the Central Division coming down the stretch, which is the way I think it should be. You know, I think you should determine your division winner by playing your teams in the division towards the end of the stretch anyway. But that bodes really well for the Tigers, who have just owned the Central Division this year. And I know people say, oh, the records are close. No, look at the records versus the Central. The Tigers, you know, they have destroyed all the teams in the Central. And so I think they're playing their best baseball right now when it counts. In games that they're not even supposed to win, like I said on Saturday, down 8-1 to the White Sox, they come back and win. Last night they just jump all over Fausto Carmona in the first inning. Right now they're a team that's very scary and getting a lot of national recognition as being a dangerous team, a team you don't want to play in the playoffs. So hopefully that rings true.
Yeah, no question about it. I turned the game on, I don't know, about 9 o'clock, maybe a little earlier than that. No, it was about 8:30. And of course, it felt so good when I saw the score. You know, and for those that didn't watch the game, we actually scored five runs in the first inning. So before Rick Porcello, who pitched a really nice game last night, let that get lost in that score. You know, before he even had to take the mound, he had a 5-run lead. You know, I would think as a pitcher that gives you a little confidence going out there. Now, it didn't work so well the last time he pitched against Cleveland because he had a nice lead and blew it. But in this circumstance, it worked out awfully well. I'm pleased with the way they're playing. They're peaking at I hope they're not peaking. Let's say they're kind of that rocket's gearing up here at the right time. I don't want them to peak yet. I want them to peak somewhere about mid-October. Then I'll be pretty happy, a little over 5 weeks from now. But it certainly looks like there's going to be extra baseball played this year at Comerica Park, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Well, and thanks in part to a guy who I think gets a lot of ire, but a guy that I admire is Dave Dombrowski. I broke it down. I thought about it yesterday. There's three basic seasons for a general manager, right? An off season, the trade deadline, and then the extended deadline, which is the waiver wire. And really, you can make an argument that Dave Dombrowski won all three. You know, getting Victor Martinez, and it's not just for what his bat has done or the fact that he can play catcher or whatever. They say he's one of the clubhouse leaders, one of the good guys in there that gets everybody on board and squashes a lot of things. And his impact can't just be felt on the field. It's in the locker room as well. That's a big deal. The trade deadline, he went out and got Pfister, and I think everyone's pretty happy with what he's been able to bring to the table. He looked like he could be a pretty good number two. And then the waiver wire trade deadline was Delman Young. The guy can't make a move right now without it turning to gold, which makes for a pretty special season.
And it certainly doesn't happen every year for every general manager. I'm sure Dave Dombrowski is feeling really good, and of course it makes Mike Ilitch's extending his contract look like the right decision. You know, on this September 7th. So there's no question that's true. You can't argue that the moves, I mean, you just can't argue that if, I don't care how much of a baseball purist you are or are not, you just can't argue that what Dave Dombrowski's been able to pull off in the last 8 weeks hasn't been this just a side of brilliant. Of course, you know, the free agent signings in the off season, you know, help exponentially as well. You know, we're playing good, fun baseball. I told you the other day, I'm one of those guys that would rather have, you know, a low scoring tight game and watch some good pitching. But I'm not getting tired of these double digit wins. I'm not. I would be lying to you if I said I did. You know, listen, it's always fun to win big. And I'm not going to sit around and expect it to happen every day. That's for sure. But sweet God, Jeff, it's been awfully fun to watch the Tigers.
Yeah, especially when it's against teams that that are in your division, and that their fans are so that they're so all about their team. So it's they were rubbing it in earlier when the Tigers were struggling a little bit, and bringing up some of the fact that your payroll is this or that, which is funny because actually it's third in the division. It's not even near the top. But anyway, it's fun when you get to go into Cleveland fans a little bit because of how you've been playing, or you sweep the White Sox and White Sox fans happen to be in town. So. It's always fun just having that back
Absolutely.
And forth.
Well, they play at noon today, so a little earlier than normally for an afternoon game. Justin Verlander's on the mound. Should be a great game. I already saw the lineup. Some of the regulars won't be playing today, but as Jim Leland said in the paper this morning, you know what? Sometimes youth and speed can make up for, some of the more veteran moves. And he made a point that the guys he's playing today, not that they all aren't anxious to play, are really, really excited about playing today. I did not know this, but according to Jim Leland, the major league ball players, especially the younger guys, love playing in the afternoon. I don't know why. He didn't give a reason for that, but that was his quote, so I'll go with it. Hey, Jeff, real quick before I forget, and shame on me, because you know how much I love the teachers that listen to this show, that work hard every day. I forgot to wish everybody a happy first day of school yesterday, and I apologize for that. Nobody wrote me. Nobody said, how dare you forget about us? None of that happened. I just, I focused elsewhere. I was so high coming off the Labor Day parade that I just kind of forgot. But certainly our thoughts are with all the teachers this year. It's going to be a tough year for them, but I know that they couldn't be happier, Jeff, than they were yesterday getting back into the classroom. No politics in the classroom. It's about what they do so exceptionally well, and that is teach. And so I'm happy for each and every one of you. And I'll break this now, and of course, I'm going to and recruit Todd's help on this. Jeff, you can help as well. But we want to start doing, and it was actually Dr. Jennifer Martin that came up with the idea, we're going to start doing a Teacher of the Month. And what we're going to do is try to put together a nice prize package that includes, a trip, a gift certificate to get supplies and maybe give them a little bit of extra money for the classroom. But we're going to start doing that on a regular, on a monthly basis. And I'm very much looking, and throughout the school year, so I'm very much looking forward to doing that. But I want to give credit to Dr. Jennifer Martin because it was her that actually came up with the idea. So we're going to put something together. But happy first day of school, now the second day of school. When we come back, we're going to talk about James Hoffa. the president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and how proud I am of him today, and how confused I am with why people are so upset. I don't get it. Do you agree or do you disagree with what James R. Hoffa did on Monday? Did he do something wrong or do you totally support what he did? 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. On Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. We'll take the quick break here. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW. Stay right where you're at.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking great out there on the roads right now. Traffic volumes are light, and, well, they're moving at posted speeds and maybe a little bit faster, depending on the driver. Of course, we do have some road construction out there right now, 696 westbound. At Bunnert, we've got the left lane closed because of a road crew. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A rainy forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, showers are likely. Mostly cloudy, a high near 69. Tonight, cloudy, still some showers will be around. A high around 59. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Stop me if you've heard this before. Some showers are likely. And some breezy winds in the northeast as well. Currently it's fair and 57 degrees at the Troy City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
It's time to get your weekend back. Stop by your neighborhood Ace and get help from people who know their stuff. You'll find the top-notch paint and supplies you need to turn your painting to-do list into a to-done list. Ace, the helpful place.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. As President Obama prepares to address the nation at a joint session of Congress on the jobs crisis, labor is urging the president to rise to the challenge of proposing a solution big enough to deal with the true scope of the jobs crisis. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka, at a recent Christian Science Monitor forum, said that Obama must act in a big way to help create jobs.
Will he focus on bold solutions on the job crisis, or will he continue to work with the Tea Party to offer cuts to middle-class programs like Social Security, all the while pretending that the deficit is where our economic problems really lie?
Trumka says a CBO report shows that letting the Bush tax cuts expire cuts the deficit in half in 10 years. Putting 14 million Americans back to work would erase the deficit, Trumka says. And Trumka says Obama cannot be a Tea Party president by proposing only what Republicans will accept on the jobs crisis.
If you only propose what you think they'll accept, they control the agenda. I urged him to propose what was necessary to solve the problem, and I hope he does that.
While Obama was in Detroit for Labor Day, UAW President Bob King, Teamsters President James Hoffa, and SEIU President Mary Kay Henry published a newspaper column also calling on the president to create a robust jobs program to put America back to work. The Center for American Progress says that GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney's jobs plan has a fatal flaw, not enough action to stimulate demand. Jesse Russell reports.
In advance of President Barack Obama announcing his jobs plan, Republican candidate and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney unveiled his own. The plan includes 59 proposals that Romney believes will turn around the economy. However, Center for American Progress Economic Policy Vice President Michael Ettlinger said on Tuesday his organization disagrees, as Romney's plan doesn't do enough to address the lack of demand.
The plan is a doubling down on Bush supply-side policies, which not only have been proven failures, but they're clearly addressing the wrong problems in today's economy.
Ettlinger added that small businesses agree the way to turn around the economy is creating demand.
The National Federation of Independent Business survey consistently says that poor sales, which is lack of demand, is the key problem in today's economy, not taxes or regulation. Federal taxes are at the lowest level they've been in more than 60 years.
The president will unveil his jobs plan Thursday during a joint session of Congress.
This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. Do we have, Jeff, and I don't remember, do we have the audio left from yesterday of Hoffa speaking? Do we still have that in the system?
Yeah.
Can we play that real quick?
Yeah, we'll load it.
All right, go ahead and load it, and let me get to the call. Again, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's talk to Jeff in Milford. Jeff, thanks for punching in this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. I think we've discussed enough over the emails and phone that you know that I would agree with Hoffa on what he said. And it's just that the same people who are doubting what Hoffa said and are refusing to, want to believe what he said are the same people that are against this maybe 100,000 construction workers getting back to work on the infrastructure. Their complaint is, oh, yeah, what's that going to do? Stimulate the economy at local restaurants. And I said to my partner at work, I said, no, what that's going to do is that's going to prevent more foreclosures. That's going to prevent people from losing their insurances and stuff like that.
Yeah, Jeff, there's a part of me, and you need to and I know you understand, Jeff, that a union president has the burden of his membership on his or her shoulders on a daily basis.
Right.
They are elected, for people that don't understand, to elevate yourself to a union, an international presidency is a massive undertaking. Because it's a national election, all right? And so you don't get there without having to take on a lot of burden, without having to talk to a lot of people, without having, a vision for your union. And, I think that James Hoffa is, number one, he's a lawyer, so people understand he's got a law background. He's a very smart man, but he also cares deeply about his membership. And you would expect that. And so when he speaks with great passion on Monday, Jeff, and listen, I was at the parade. Yesterday on the show, I just felt like everything was so possible. The energy was amazing. It was great to have Hoffa there and Trumka there and all the local presidents that I know were there. And you see these people and you begin to think that this is possible. And, I just refuse to give in to these people that are calling this thuggery, because it wasn't thuggery at all. We needed that kind of, it's passion. This is the kind of stuff that excites people. It says, you get what I'm going through, that you understand my plight. That's what it conveys.
And you understand my point, because for so many times I've said, exactly what you've been saying, and it's like I told you on one of my emails. I said, quit agreeing with me so much, because people are going to think I'm a plant, and I'm not a plant. It's just that we think alike.
Well, we'll figure out something to disagree on. In the meantime, I appreciate the call, and I'm going to look forward to seeing you for dinner Saturday night.
All right, I look forward to it too.
All right, thanks so much, Jeff. Again, if you care to join us, folks, what do you think about what this is? What Hoff had to say. 888-552-3595. This is what he had to say.
Everybody here's got a vote. If we go back and we keep the eye on the prize, let's take these son of a bitches out and give America back to America where we belong.
Give America back to America where it belongs. How can someone have a problem with that?
You know what I thought was funny on Fox News? They actually bleeped that part out in the middle. The sons
of the sons of bitches.
Right, and then immediately after they played it with it beeped out, the host comes on and says, "Now how come how do you not have a problem with him saying sons of?" And he says the word. I mean, he just goes out and says, "I mean, like, how do you bleep it one time and then immediately come out and say the word afterwards?"
Thank you, Fox News. How did MSNBC treat that audio? Did they bleep it or not?
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't bleep it. All right. Well, listen, there are plenty of people that had something to say about this. Of course, Jay Carney, the president's press secretary, was asked about what happened, and this is what he had to say.
Obama said after the shooting, Gabrielle Giffords, at a time when our discourse has become so sharply polarized, at a time when we are far too eager to lay the blame for all the ails of the world at the feet of those who think differently than we do, it's important for us to pause for a moment, make sure that we are talking with each other in a way that heals, not a way that wounds. Did he mean that?
Of course you did.
How does the comments, how did the comments by the Teamsters president fit in with that?
Well, first of all, those weren't comments by the president. Secondly, as I think has been reported
by a union leader at an event that President Obama spoke at.
I understand that there is a ritual in Washington that, you know, somebody says something and you link the associations, and then everybody who has an association with him or her somehow has to avow or disavow it. The president wasn't there. I mean, he wasn't on stage. He didn't speak for another 20 minutes. He didn't hear it. I really don't have any comment beyond that.
Okay, well, some of us covered the campaign and recall a time when somebody made some harsh comments about then-Senator Obama while during the introduction of the McCain rally, and the Obama campaign was offended and expected an apology, and Senator McCain came out and did so.
Well, Mr. Hoffa speaks for himself. He speaks for the labor movement, AFL-CIO. The president speaks for himself. I speak for the president. You know, what the president was glad to do yesterday was have the opportunity to present his views on the importance of working Americans and on the importance of taking measures to help working Americans to create jobs and grow the economy.
So the precedent you're setting right now for the 2012 election is the Republican candidates are the ones that we need to pay attention to, and those who introduce them at rallies, their surrogates. So you don't need to pay attention to anything that they say.
I think I've said what I can say about this.
Is that the standard now?
You can report it as you like.
I'd rather not have to do this Washington kabuki every time something happens. But if that's the standard, then...
The standard is we should focus on the actions we can take to grow the economy and create jobs instead of focusing on kabuki theater.
Yeah, kabuki theater. You got to like that. First of all, Jay Carney, God bless you. The Teamsters are actually part of Change the Win Coalition, not AFL-CIO, but I'm not going to split hairs there. I don't understand, and Jeff, maybe it's just me, I don't understand where the reporter was going with this. I don't understand why he kept pushing him in that direction, because he was looking for an answer he wasn't getting. But what was he looking for? I'm guessing, not that you necessarily know, you weren't there, but you heard what I heard. What kind of answer was he looking for? Was he looking for the president to take some responsibility? Is that what he was looking for? I don't understand what he was looking for.
I think so. I think they're saying if you have a person speak before you, you're responsible for everything that they say. And so, you know, they wanted to see an apology. Now, because McCain had apologized during the election, they think that every time someone speaks in front of another person that you need to apologize for what they have to say. And they say, well, you know, coming up in these elections, if you have a Republican and he says something, you know, completely out of bounds, you can't get an apology from that person then because, yeah, you didn't get one from here. But I think it's hilarious because what are you apologizing for? What do you have to apologize for? I don't get why there needs to be an apology or a refute at all.
Again, that's the point. And James Hoffa was speaking for himself and his union. He was speaking to labor in general, the men and women that were at that rally, who agreed with him. Why, again, you know, and it's his brand of truth. Now, I understand that you don't have to embrace his brand of truth if you don't want to, but he shouldn't apologize for his opinion. And it's not like his opinion was a call to hatred or violence. There was nothing in his remarks that did anything but ask people to do what I do on a daily basis, which is ask people to vote, Jeff. I mean, every day we run that ad a couple times a day about registering to vote. That's all he was doing, was telling people to vote. Okay. John Stewart, of course, always has to comment on what's going on. Damn him. What did he have to say? Here we go.
Everybody here's got to vote. If we go back and we keep the eye on the prize, let's take these son of a bitches out and give America back to America where we belong.
This is inciting violence. It is calling to take us out. What exactly does he mean by take us out?
The president should repudiate it.
Using this sort of rhetoric in the White House is silent. It's shameful and disgusting.
I think a lot of people would love to hear a response to taking sons of bitches out.
Shame on you! Shame on you, James Hoffa. Gretchen Carlson was so upset, she left her prom early to report on that. That is not right! Of course you could say it's odd that the Tea Party and the right have suddenly developed an allergic reaction to violent rhetoric.
since they've spent the past couple of years talking like this.
Get your musket to fix your bayonet and a charge into the ranks.
Yeah, thank you, Congressman Alan West. You know, and again, he wasn't. This wasn't a call to violence. It wasn't a call to arms. And unless you want to talk about your constitutional right to vote, you know, I don't get it.
He didn't ask you to grab any weapon or, you know, grab anything that would. He asked you to grab your vote. I mean, that tells you right there, it's not a call for violence.
No, I mean, you know, let's go after him. Well, you know, I call for that every day. You know, and again, this is just about an oversensitized way to react, and I think that at the end, you know, part of what I think gets to me about this is the conservatives and the Tea Party people, the reason that they're so, quote unquote, offended by this is because I believe that, you know, there's starting to be some movement back toward a sympathetic view of labor, that people understand that the middle class and labor has been beat up on, and they're fighting back. And I think that conservatives and teabaggers are very, very upset over the fact they're losing ground. Look at the polling. The polling tells us that the Tea Party is losing support by the week, because they are extreme and radical. There's nothing extreme and radical about what James Hoffa had to say. We'll get more of this on the other side. Give us a call. What do you think, for or against what James Hoffa had to say? You don't have to defend it. Just looking for your opinion. 888-552-3595. This is 1310 WDTW. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
First Chip with Tony Trupiano.
We spend federal money to save money. Where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity.
I think you just did.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
It's time to get your weekend back. Stop by your neighborhood Ace and get help from people who know their stuff. You'll find the top-notch paint and supplies you need to turn your painting to-do list into a to-done list. Ace, the helpful place.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights.
1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, so let maybe a little study and contrast, some audio for you. Mitt Romney on what he thinks about unions. Let's hear what Mitt Romney had to say.
Where are you on the federal right to work, and what is your opinion about government unions at the federal and state level?
Yeah, first of all, what I said was if a right to work piece of legislation reached my desk at the federal level, I'd sign it.
Okay.
And the right course, I believe, politically at this stage, is to have states carry out their own right to work legislation. And as you know, right to work states, those 22, have created 3 million jobs over the last 10 years. The union states have lost about 500,000 jobs. So right to work is the way to go if you want good jobs. That's number one. Government unions, and unions play an important role in our country, and can be the carpenters union, for instance, trains their people in ways to provide good services. When people want to compete on a fair basis, that's great. When the government has people in unions, it presents a particular problem. And there are a couple of ways it presents a problem, in my view. When unions are allowed to collect money from their members, and then one person, the chief executive of that union, can give that to whichever candidate they want, that's simply a violation of the personal rights of that individual. And that shouldn't be allowed. And number two, I really have a problem with the idea that one person is able to collect money from all of their members and then give it to a party or an individual who that person may then be the one that decides on matters of legislation directing.
All right, we're gonna stop it there. Only because he's getting it wrong. Mitt Romney is getting it entirely wrong. He's not describing how unions work. He's not describing how they make decisions. In fact, Jeff, you made the point before the show, what he was describing was the way PACs work, not the way unions work. You know, so I want to point that out. And, you know, if you don't understand, there's committees of people that choose candidates, and it's vetted and it's voted on. This is not the decision of one person. So it's just ridiculous that he does this. Then we have Vice President Joe Biden in Ohio on Monday. And then he understands the fight of the middle class and of what unions have to do. And so this is what Joe Biden had to say.
This is a different kind of fight. I know some of you heard me speak before, are tired of hearing me say it. And some folks didn't believe me when I said this 8 years ago and 6 years ago and 4 years ago and last year and 2008 before that in your state. This is a fight for the heart and soul of the labor movement. It's a fight literally for our right to exist. Don't misunderstand what this is. Don't misunderstand. Not a joke. Not a joke. Not an applause line. You are the only folks keeping the barbarians from the gates. You are the only non-governmental power. The only non-governmental power. The only one that has the power and the capacity to stop this onslaught. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why they want you so badly. The middle class is under attack because labor is under the most direct assault in generations. You know, to state it simply what I stated 2 years ago at some of your national conventions, the other side has declared war on labor's house, and it's about time we stand up.
And that's, you know, again, two very different points of view. Is Biden wrong? Is Romney wrong? You decide. You decide. But it is about a fight for and with the middle class. Let's go to the phones and welcome my friend Tony in Dearborn. Tony, thanks for punching in this morning. Good morning to you. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, yeah, I was down at Labor Day on Monday at the parade and everything. I got down there at 6 o'clock. I was working for the recall, and one of the things that's, like, concerning to me is that the Teamsters supported Snyder during, you know, the 2010 elections. And when I was down there collecting signatures, I talked to a brother who, I asked him if he wanted to sign. He said, Snyder's good for Teamsters. I asked him how, and he said, Snyder's good for Teamsters. So, I mean, But Hoffa's speech was great.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, and I don't know that all, I can assure you, not all Teamsters. I know a lot of Teamsters, Tony, and they don't all agree that Snyder's good for Teamsters. So he was certainly
absolutely. Yeah. No, I know that.
You know, and you know, the Carpenters, I believe the building trades supported Rick Snyder as well. You know, again, there are a lot of people, Tony, I go back to that that rally I went to in Lapeer at the beginning of the summer when the woman got up, the teacher, and she said, you know, she started crying. She says, I voted for Rick Snyder. And she says, I feel betrayed. You know, and there are a lot of people, Tony, that voted for Rick Snyder because they thought he was going to bring something fresh and new and original. I don't blame people for voting for Rick Snyder. But, you know, they weren't paying attention. Who I blame are the people that didn't vote at all. Because if enough Democrats would have showed up, Tone, you know what would have happened? Snyder would have never won. But we didn't have enough people show up. So we're kind of paying for that right now. But I don't want to keep looking back. Let's work on the recall effort. Let's try to get this guy recalled. And God forbid if that doesn't happen, let's just remember that we need to keep our eye on what's happening on a daily basis. You know, Tony, you're a passionate union guy. You know what needs to be done. You're standing up every single day and trying to make a difference. You weren't downtown at 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning because you had nothing better to do. You want to see things change. Right, Tone?
Right. Okay. And I think everybody else should get involved in their unions, too. Make sure next time, you know.
Absolutely. Right. Tony, thanks for the call. You know, again, I'll repeat it. I don't get tired of saying it. If you're not in a union, get into one. If you're in a union, get closer to your union. It really is that simple. You know, going back again to what, you know, the difference between Mitt Romney and Joe Biden. Mitt Romney doesn't get it. He doesn't even understand how a union works. The way he described the way decisions are made isn't close to the way it's done. Not close to the way it's done. Joe Biden, of course, gets it. Joe Biden's a pro-labor guy. Joe Biden has been with labor. Every time labor has needed Joe Biden, Joe Biden has been there. He's been there, wasn't it, when it wasn't popular to be there. What has happened on Monday and what is continuing to happen as we move forward is labor is again finding their voice and understanding the historic difference they can make in history if they decide to come together and work in solidarity. And that is what's happening now. And it frightens conservatives and it frightens the Tea Party people because they know they can't beat labor. They know that. And I guess I would be a little pissed off, too, if I were them. So they're going to try to defend or offend in the way that they do. And it's kind of hard to defend the indefensible. They can't defend their point of view. Because the truth tells us that all the conservatives have done to the middle class and to labor over the last decade is attack them and try to weaken them. And labor finally said, enough is enough. Thank God. All right, a quick break here. Greg Stark's on the other side of this. If you're plugged into the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act in that fight, you're going to really want to pay attention. But you should pay attention anyway. You need to know what's going on. Russ is coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. A quick break for the top of the hour. And we come back, we'll continue this thing we call First Shift. Stay punched in. We'll be back.
Team 10 WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking great out there on the roadways right now. Just a reminder that the 96 to Jeffries eastbound ramp to northbound Southfield Freeway is currently closed. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, not a very good one. Mostly cloudy. A high near 69 today. Some showers are likely a little bit later on tonight. Still, the showers will linger. Cloudy. A low in the upper 50s, and then tomorrow, cloudy still, more showers, and some breezy winds out of the northeast. Currently, it's fair and 57 at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, firemen in Texas are doing what they can to fight back the flames. They're spraying water on trees behind the fire line. The wildfires have burned more than 700 homes since Sunday, and four people have been killed. CNN's Chris Welsh reports the numbers might go up.
This morning, search crews will finally be going in for the first time over the past 3 days. About 100-member search team will go in this morning, look for, you know, any more fatalities, look for any bodies. They hope, obviously, that they don't find any more, but these fires have been very massive.
What's left of Tropical Storm Lee could bring flooding to states in the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast. And many of these same areas are still recovering from Irene. Police in Carson City, Nevada are trying to figure out why a man with an AK-47 opened fire in an IHOP restaurant. Sheriff Ken Furlong says they're learning more about the gunman.
There has been some suggestion by his family members that there is some mental health issues.
Three of the four people who were killed were members of the National Guard. President Obama will tell Americans his ideas for creating jobs in a speech to Congress tomorrow night. Richard Trumka, head of the AFL-CIO, says the president needs to be assertive.
We need him to be bold again. We need him to be a leader again. We need him to be aggressive again and singularly focus on creating jobs, 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 and more jobs, and actually steamroll anybody that gets in his way.
Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney announced his 59-point plan to jumpstart the economy and create jobs.
We're going to immediately cut all federal spending by 5% except in the military and except our entitlements. All of our discretionary government spending will be cut immediately by 5%, and there's more to come.
The GOP presidential candidates will debate in California tonight. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Sears Blue Automotive crew has big news on tires. Through September 10th, save on all tires. And come into Sears Auto Center for our biggest rebate savings ever on Goodyear tires. You'll save up to $200 when you buy four after instant savings and mail-in rebates. Now that's something to talk about. Also at Sears Auto Center, get a conventional oil change for only $21.99 with coupon and no shop or disposal fees. Find more great savings at SearsAuto.com. Sale ends 9/10/2011. Rebates end 12/3/11. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
I'm Charles Osgood. To all the loyal customers out there who have rated us highest in customer satisfaction for auto insurance claims experience, we thank you, thank you, and thank you. Auto Owners Insurance, ranked highest in customer satisfaction 3 years in a row by J.D. Power and Associates. For award information, visit jdpower.com. Auto Owners Insurance. Promises made, promises kept. To find the independent insurance agent nearest you, visit autoowners.com. That's autoowners.com.
Wall Street is looking for its first gains so far for September, and Yahoo may help. Its shares rose 6% in late trading after its board fired CEO Carol Bartz and named Chief Financial Officer Tim Morris as interim boss. The company also says it'll put together a new leadership council that will work on a strategic review of Yahoo's business. Also, changes at Bank of America have its stock rising pre-market. Top executives Sally Krawcheck and Joe Price are leaving, and two new co-operating officers have been named. After 3 days of losses on Wall Street, S&P futures are higher by 14 points. NASDAQ ahead 25. Dow futures rising 118. Now that Oprah is out of daytime TV, new entrants are vying for her crown. Some well-known names, but newcomers to daytime TV include Anderson Cooper, Katie Couric, Ricky Lake, and comedian Steve Harvey. But all will have to deal with Oprah's heir apparent, Judge Judy, now the most popular daytime show. I'm Steve Potusk from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If I set it free, I wonder how far it will go.
We're CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans across the country to what matters most. We're committed to providing better service with consistently fast speeds and 5-year price lock guarantees. And since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest, straightforward service delivered by real people who are happy to help you explore what's next. See how far you might go. CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com. Oh, give me freedom.
We're fashion retailers.
Wine wholesalers.
A surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners.
To fuel innovation and a new economy.
And to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
It's back to college. Time to learn about new things, like the fact that you can walk into a Walmart wireless center and walk out with a fully activated smartphone. Get the Sharp FX from AT&T, the HTC Wildfire S from T-Mobile, and the Samsung Continuum from Verizon. Just $28.88 each. Your new phone will work right away, which is more than we can say when you graduate with that art degree in glass blowing. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Prices with two-year new agreement are qualified to your extension plan. Data plan required. Brand and assortment availability varies by location.
New York Life Insurance Company is still strong, still stable, and still hiring. By becoming an agent with New York Life, you can make a difference in your local community by helping families secure their financial futures. Regardless of your experience level, our comprehensive training and world-class marketing support help make it easy to establish your business. To learn more about how you can help families achieve peace of mind, visit newyorklife.com/careers. An equal opportunity.
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality of being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
And welcome, everybody, to hour two of this Wednesday morning program. Pleasure to be with you on First Shift. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. And I begin this hour on a very, very serious note. To the person, I will not assume the sex of this person. To the person with the AOL email address that just sent me a very disgusting email. I have forwarded your email onto the FBI Internet Division, and they, I'm sure, will be contacting you. I understand everybody has a right to free speech. You have crossed a line, sir. You have crossed a line. I've tolerated a lot of your vitriol and hatred towards the president. You've gone too far. I have forwarded your email onto the Internet Division of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I would think twice about sending out another email under that address, not that they won't be able to find you. Let me quickly tell you that we're going to have open lines a little bit later on in the hour. I hate to start the hour that way, but I can only tolerate so much. So we're going to have some open lines a little later on. We're also going to talk about home economics. You remember home ec. We're going to talk about it. It happens to be our Facebook, First Shift Facebook poll question of the day, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. Last week we had attorney Chris Forsyth on the show talking about some legal decisions that have radically affected the way that we are doing the business side of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. Today in Lansing, dozens of, let's call them junior lobbyists, will knock on the doors of lawmakers all over the state capitol asking them to think more compassionately about what's going on. But there's a lot going on. I don't understand it all, and my next guest has a much better grasp of this than I do, so I thought that I would share him with you. And for full disclosure, my next guest used to be the producer of my program, not this show, when I was on the Michigan Talk Radio Network, so we know each other quite well. I have a great deal of respect for him. He's a very, very smart man, somebody that I care about personally a great deal. A wonderful father and an amazing businessman. Joining me now is Greg Starks, who is the president of GJS Consulting. And Gregory, I want to thank you for joining us this morning and giving us some of your time on this early morning, although I know for you this isn't too terribly early.
Why, thanks, Tony. I appreciate that. And if you could save that introduction for me so I could use it as my outgoing message on my phone, I'd appreciate it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Greg, today is a big day at the state capitol. I know that there are a lot of people very concerned that are involved in the Michigan medical marijuana community. Some 100,000 plus plus. If you can help us just kind of set the record straight and what you hope to accomplish today at the state capitol.
Well, the purpose of this, the original purpose of the rally that got scheduled at the capitol was to protest a bunch of bills that had been introduced in the state legislature that would have the effect of restricting access, I suppose, in the end. Some are to ban clubs and dispensaries. Some are to make a relationship between a doctor and his patient extraordinarily complex. And there were a couple others that that would ban any sort of facility from being within 1,000 feet or so of schools, daycare centers, churches, streets, you know, everywhere. Basically, a lot of this legislation is designed to render the act invalid, to make it impossible for most people to get their medicine.
Well, you know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as your guest last week explained, since then we've had what's called the McQueen decision, which has had the effect of closing almost every dispensary in Michigan. And so the way that the act has been implemented and people have behaved in terms of going to get their medicine, the dispensaries were an important element. And so now there's a real problem that exists for many patients in terms of being able to simply find a supply of quality medicine.
Well, you know, and that really is the concern. I keep going back, Greg, and maybe I'm focusing in the wrong direction. I keep focusing on, though, the patient. Not the caregiver, but the patient. The person that actually needs the medicine, and it just happens to be marijuana. And the problem, for me anyway, is there seems to be somebody seems to have injected into this argument a morality argument that to me doesn't belong. This isn't about morality. Well, I guess at some level it is, but it goes the other way. There's a lack of morality when you don't allow people their needed medicine to gain access to that medicine. And certainly what the Justice Department may be doing, what the Supreme Court may eventually do, is further restrict access to something that the people of the state of Michigan, you know, by a rather large margin, voted into law by allowing access to medical marijuana. Am I seeing this wrong? Am I focusing on the wrong stuff here?
No, I think focusing exactly properly. Seems like the threat to the act is coming more from the state than the federal branch, and a lot of this right now is about a prosecutorial discretion. So while we had the McQueen case saying, hey, this is illegal, the way it works is unless a county prosecutor or federal prosecutor brings a case against you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's illegal. So in Wayne and Genesee counties, the prosecutors have explicitly said, hey, we've got better things to do. There's real crime out here that we're trying to fight, and we'll only take this up if the cities bring complaints to us, and the cities have the same general response. Many of them do. So, yeah, I think getting back to the core of your question, there are three complex pieces. One, when we passed the act, there was a 63% statewide vote, which is an enormous margin. It said, hey, for the health and welfare of the people of the state of Michigan, we're going to do this. That's the condition. It's not because we think it's right. It's just because it'll help. So you end up with people with strange agendas like the Attorney General who are doing everything in their power to be creative and make this a difficult process because they have an ideological interest. A lot of people take it personally against him. I've known Bill Schuette for a long time, and he just believes what he believes in this case and is going to be unpersuadable, and it's going to make things difficult. But that said, particularly the discretion that's been employed by the federal prosecutors in the Eastern District of Michigan has been extraordinary. They pretty much sat out and let this evolve the way that it's evolved. I don't know that that's been a successful outcome so far, but it's a process. And now the third piece of this is that when you have an initiative, a legislative initiative, just people vote on law, that means that there's kind of a disconnect. And especially when you get a margin like this, usually referendums are passed by 51-52%. 63, you only see that twice, really, with this and then with the bottle law. The bottle law was vigorously opposed by different people, too, but they had really, really hyper-organized people. Lynn Jondal and his wife were at the top of that organization, and they simply saw it through. It's been a much more difficult process for the medical marijuana community to negotiate with the legislature successfully, because these are generally people that have done everything in their power to avoid contact with law enforcement and public figures in the past. So still, they're unfamiliar with it, but they're getting better, and we expect more than dozens. The weather may hold things back, but people are thinking that 1,000 people will show up today at the Capitol, which would be good.
Well, you know, and then, you know, let's talk about the law. I mean, you know, and I've read a lot. You provided me with a lot of information. There have been a lot of op-ed pieces out there. And I do agree with one thing, that the law that was enacted, that was voted on and enacted, you know, certainly wasn't clear enough in some areas. And certainly one of them, because we've had these legal challenges, is about access to. I'm not using dispensaries on purpose here, but access to the medicine. Now, one of the solutions to that, Greg, because it's being done in other states, are dispensaries. Couldn't it be as simple as just making sure that we write legislation that clearly defines that relationship? Wouldn't that solve our problem?
I think it would help a lot. There are two real problems. One is that this act has not been competently implemented. The Bureau of Health Professions should be ashamed of themselves for the work that they've done and haven't done. They've kept 3/4 of the money that's been sent in. People are waiting 6 months for cards. The cards can't be verified very well. It's just that they need this thing fail. So that's part one. I've lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
But, you know, creating legislation is what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? Collect your thoughts. Greg, hold on. If you just collect your thoughts, we got to take a break here, and then we'll come back and talk.
Sounds good.
That works for you? I appreciate it. All right, folks, if you've got something to say about the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, if you're concerned, if you're supporting, if you're against it, give us a call, 888-552-3595. Ultimately, it's defined as medicine. Medicine. Why would you have a problem with people gaining access to their medicine? I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll take the break and be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Malia and Sasha finish their homework a day ahead of time. Malia's 13, Sasha's 10. They don't wait until the night before. They're not pulling all-nighters. If you know you've got to do something, just do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have some slowdowns out there. 75 southbound between 12 mile down to 8 mile. There's a delay. We have an accident, 94 westbound, right before M59. It's on the shoulder, not really causing too much of a slowdown there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy. Some showers are moving into the area right now, and we should see those throughout the day. High near 69 tonight. Showers are likely cloudy, a low around 59, and then tomorrow, still cloudy and a chance of showers, a high in the lower 70s. Currently, there's a few clouds and some showers moving in at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Final round time. If two's company and three's a crowd, what's 207?
A bar mitzvah?
Correct. Opportunity never knocks twice. Why not?
It's got sore knuckles?
Correct.
Yes.
How fast does Netflix let you watch TV episodes and movies?
Instantly, through your game console or other devices.
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Yeah.
Sir, put your shirt back on.
But I'm excited.
You're scaring the children.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, and thank you for being with us this morning. Welcome back. Greg Starks, my guest. He is the president with GJS Consulting. He works with dozens of companies all over the state on issues that affect your life, policy, and one of course, those issues is the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act and all of its dysfunction since we had a new legislature. By the way, everything seemed to be going fine under the Granholm administration, besides a change in parties. Did something happen that I'm not aware of?
Well, not so much the change of the legislature is the important thing. And then the act, it takes 75% of both chambers to enact to amend statutes that have been passed by the public at a referendum. So in the prior legislature, there was virtually no chance that the act could be amended. And now you look at a scenario where it might not be terribly difficult. I think a lot of people were reassured by your conversation with Senator Whitmer last week, and I certainly was. And so maybe the Senate Democrats will hold, but I think people are genuinely concerned, and there are clearly, like you said earlier, elements in the act that need to be the act would benefit by some things being clarified. I think a lot of the folks in the community are concerned that once you start fiddling with things, then unwanted, unforeseen circumstances can result.
Give us some specifics. If you were to write legislation, if you were to get a call today from whatever committee it is that oversees these things and say, Mr. Starks, we need to write some legislation that will better define the relationship between the caregiver and the patient and access to medicine. What would be the key pieces of legislation that you would consult them to write?
Oh, it's there actually. The there have been a group of activists that have been working hard on dispensary legislation long before McQueen, anticipating the possibility of the result we got. So there is legislation that is ready to be, well, LSBI's, so formalized, but ready to be circulated amongst legislators to see if they support. And this legislation would be to provide for dispensaries, to regulate them, probably in a pharmaceutical, to give local government enormous control over the nature and suitability of dispensaries in their community, and to provide extra protections for people that didn't want to use electricity to grow, outdoor growing, or to grow outside of their home, which is another set of risks that they would like to avoid, but that's been very difficult. And then finally, to test the products that so that patients, because you were right, all of this has to be about patients. Whether there's an inconvenience to a care system, that is pretty much irrelevant. The patients drive everything. So the patients know from the testing what they have and whether, and that it's, you know, pure and not full of mold or various pesticides or that kind of thing.
Is there any reason that that the dispensary should be, the model should be a traditional business model where they are competitive, not like unlike a pharmacy where there are competitive pricing for pharmaceuticals?
I think that, you know, One piece that not many people talk about is the dual-edged sword of most of these patients. You have to be pretty sick to get a medical marijuana card. And so generally when you're that sick, you don't have much money. And this product's really expensive. So I think it's really important for a competitive marketplace to exist. And it's just, it will reward the folks that do well and not reward those who don't, because this isn't, you know, cultivating medical marijuana is not a simple thing, and there are certainly a bunch of people who do it very well.
Well, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because I have said on this show that you cultivating it, growing it, however you want to phrase it, Greg, you know, it seems to me that would be a skill set. I'm thinking about, again, an elderly couple where, you know, maybe they're in their 60s or 70s. Maybe gardening's not their thing, because this isn't about as simple as just planting some plants in the backyard, then picking it and smoking it. You know, a further, you know, I see that this McQueen case further keeps medicine away from people that need it. And I think it's a much bigger problem than people realize. I unfortunately, I think people still go, well, it's dope, for God's sake. It's pot. I mean, sweet God, do they really, you know, you can buy it on any street corner. Do we really need all this regulation? Now, you know, people that are using this as medicine, this is serious stuff to them, Greg.
It's absolutely true. While some people might, there are a bunch of different ways to use it, I guess is the right way to say it. And there are some folks that are really sick that use an enormous amount of it, and it has real palliative and now arguably therapeutic effects. The application of the derived oils to skin is a topical application for basal and squamous cell carcinoma is being conducted right now, just kind of random case studies. But people know what they're using and applying and are looking at the results and saying, well, we don't have a controlled lab clinical experiment here, but on the other hand, here's your pre and here's your post, and you figure it out. So part of the problem with this has been the federal limits on it in terms of research. It's a Schedule I up with heroin drug, and because of that, nobody can do any research on it. It's declared to have no medical value. The DEA is doing that, and they do it because they want to make money. It's a jobs program for them. They just, you know, asset forfeiture, or you go in, you bust somebody, you take their stuff, you sell it, and it pays your salary. That's how this stuff works. And so for all the little law nets and everything around the state, that's another challenge.
Well, in fact, Greg, when I had done the interview last week, you were listening to the show, and you sent that talking point to me that it was about asset forfeiture. I got a huge response when I shared your comments with me on air. You know, a lot of people that are into this fight, that are looking to protect the patients here, you know, agreed wholeheartedly with what you had to say, that for a lot of people, this is a jobs program, And they just see it as a way to rip off your stuff and then turn around and sell it and stuff their pockets with money. If people think that that's not realistic, they need to think again.
It's unbelievable. They can take your stuff and sell it without arresting you, without an indictment. They just, it's just gone and sold, and you just sit there wondering what's going to happen. And if they say, well, we took our stuff, we took your stuff, but we don't have enough to bring a case against you, so have a good day.
All right, well, in the,
and that happens all the time.
In the minute, and literally the minute we have left, what do you expect to happen today besides perhaps some really good dialogue?
Well, there are going to be two elements today, I think, to this event. And folks can still get on the bus. There are buses that are leaving out of the Detroit area. They're around 9, I guess, 8:30 or 9. But the point is, there will be two pieces. One, folks will go in and talk to their legislators. And this really hasn't happened before, where you're actually making a concentrated effort. Whether legislators will be available today, I don't know. It's for their first day back, and they got a bunch of stuff.
All right, 10 seconds, Greg.
And then they're just everybody finally. This is a unity piece, and everybody's getting together and making speeches and encouraging people to work together.
That works. Greg Starks, thank you so much. We will touch base with you again on this issue. You are the guy. A quick break here. We're open lines after that. Then it's time to go back to school. Do you take home ec? Do any good? We're going to find out on the other side of this. I'm Tony Trupiano. Stay with me.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Settle traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Things are looking good out there. A couple of exceptions, though. 75 southbound between 12 Mile and 8 Mile. You'll find some delays there. 696 eastbound between the 275-96 interchange in towards Orchard Lake. You'll find some slowdowns. 94 westbound before M59. We'll find that accident there on the shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
Drive through McDonald's today and try the new Cherry Berry Chiller. It's a new naturally flavored iced beverage featuring 100% fruit juice. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high near 6 to 9. Some showers are likely, and we're seeing some on the east side right now. Tonight, more showers, cloudy, a low in the upper 50s. And then tomorrow, once again, cloudy, showers, a high near 71. Currently, there's some showers moving into Detroit City Airport. 57 degrees. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. As President Obama prepares to address the nation at a joint session of Congress on the jobs crisis, labor is urging the president to rise to the challenge of proposing a solution big enough to deal with the true scope of the jobs crisis. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka, at a recent Christian Science Monitor forum, said that Obama must act in a big way to help create jobs.
Will he focus on bold solutions on the job crisis, or will he continue to work with the Tea Party to offer cuts to middle-class programs like Social Security, all the while pretending that the deficit is where our economic problems really lie?
Trumka says a CBO report shows that letting the Bush tax cuts expire cuts the deficit in half in 10 years. Putting 14 million Americans back to work would erase the deficit, Trumka says. And Trumka says Obama cannot be a Tea Party president by proposing only what Republicans will accept on the jobs crisis.
If you only propose what you think they'll accept, they control the agenda. I urged him to propose what was necessary to solve the problem, and I hope he does that.
While Obama was in Detroit for Labor Day, UAW President Bob King, Teamsters President James Hoffa, and SEIU President Mary Kay Henry published a newspaper column also calling on the president to create a robust jobs program to put America back to work. The Center for American Progress says a GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney's jobs plan has a fatal flaw, not enough action to stimulate demand. Jesse Russell reports.
In advance of President Barack Obama announcing his jobs plan, Republican candidate and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney unveiled his own. The plan includes 59 proposals that Romney believes will turn around the economy. However, Center for American Progress Economic Policy Vice President Michael Ettlinger said on Tuesday his organization disagrees, as Romney's plan doesn't do enough to address the lack of demand.
The plan is a doubling down on Bush supply-side policies, which not only have been proven failures, but they're clearly addressing the wrong problems in today's economy.
Ettlinger added that small businesses agree the way to turn around the economy is creating demand.
The National Federation of Independent Business survey consistently says that poor sales, which is lack of demand, is the key problem in today's economy, not taxes or regulation. Federal taxes are at the lowest level they've been in more than 60 years.
The president will unveil his jobs plan Thursday during a joint session of Congress.
This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, 35 minutes after the hour. As promised, we're going back to school. The question, the First Shift Facebook question today is a recent op-ed the New York Times suggests that young people today would benefit in a big way if schools would go back to teaching home ec. I'm sure some of you remember home ec. I ask you if you agree or disagree. And the vast majority at this point are saying yes, it would give them basic skills. Some have said no, it's a waste of time and needed cash. And one person has said, I have no opinion, which is fine. It's an answer. Go ahead and use it. So what do you think? Do you think that home ec, now, as I recall it, as I remember it, because I had it in middle school, actually, not in high school, but we were taught to cook, we were taught to sew, we were taught to do laundry. Those three things I clearly remember. Now, I grew up in a household where we were taught those things anyway, and those are things that we've taught our children. I was talking with Jeff and Todd during the break, and I'm going to ask them to join me now. So, Jeff, start chewing on that bagel before you get on the microphone. But we'll start with Todd. Todd, you said you had a baking class. Was it in high school or middle school?
It was in high school.
And I'm just curious, for a whole semester, what the hell did you people bake?
I think it was like lasagna, cookies. I mean, real simple.
Well, that's
stuff.
A cooking class, though. I mean, lasagna's, I mean, you bake it, but
well,
that's not baking.
I guess it was a baking slash cooking class, if you want to classify it as that.
All right, so it was kind of home ec, but that's all you did. You didn't do anything else. You didn't do sewing. You didn't do laundry. None of that.
No, none of that stuff.
So for a whole semester, and I'm assuming you cooked this stuff and then you ate it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much a blow-off class. It was easy A.
That's not the point. This is about skill set. Well, did you get anything out of it? Did you learn something?
I wish I could say that I did, but yeah. I didn't.
All right. Well, Jeff, we'll turn to you.
That's a great, his class, though, sounds like a great self-controlling class. Like, you have to cook what you cook whatever, and then if you don't do a good job at it, you have to eat your own cooking.
Yeah, well,
so.
I mean, truly, would you think it would help you to pay attention, especially the stoners? I mean, can you imagine getting high before that class and then going and, you know, cooking and eating?
Right, that'd be like if you went to a mechanics class and fixed on cars, and then you had to drive whatever you fixed. I wouldn't get in a car if I was working on the brakes and I didn't pay attention in class.
Very good. So, now, was home ec, you had said during the break that you did not take it. Was it offered at your school?
Yeah, we had through in high school. We had
high
home
school,
ec.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was there all 4 years I was there, because it seems like home ec sort of got phased out. But I do know this. Mostly it was girls that went to it, and the guys that signed up for the class just basically did it because they knew that the class was mostly girls, so their chances were increased.
Well, and I said I had it in middle school, and it was a required class. It wasn't, you didn't have a choice. You know, and I know that at the high school level, it was a choice. You could either take wood shop or home ec, or we had a printing class where you could learn how to do printing, you know, typesetting and that kind of stuff. And I'm trying to remember what they called it was a block of classes that were, you know, vocational tech classes is what they called them. And so in high school it was an option, and in middle school it was not. And, you know, I remember we made a stuffed animal. I clearly remember that. We had to go out and buy a pattern and had to buy material. And, you know, again, we cooked. And I know that we did laundry. And I remember that we would do laundry. I was on the football team then. In middle school, I was on the football team, as I was in high school. And we would be washing the practice stuff for the football team. So that was something that we did, and so the teacher taught you, you know, how to measure the soap and put it in, and what temperatures to use. So the question that, you know, the New York Times asks is it time to revive home ec? And so 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, do you think we should bring home ec back either to the middle or high school level and require it? Now, you know, Jeff, some of the benefits of having home ec, as this article points out, is understanding nutrition. I think one of the benefits, of course, is being able to take care of yourself. A lot of people don't know how to cook. You know, they leave the house, and they have no skill set. They don't know how to do laundry. They don't know how to cook a meal. And even you said that our generation expects your generation to just know things because we knew them. So we just assume you know them as well. I think that to some level that's true. I'm not one of those people that thinks everybody knows what I know, because I know I don't know everything everybody else knows. But, you know, with my own kids, we at a very young age, we showed them how to do their laundry. And, you know, to this day, I feel very good that, you know, my children can all, you know, they all know how to cook. They all know how to clean properly. They all know how to balance a checkbook. You know, they know what they're doing. You know, whether they choose to do it or not is another question. But they have that skill set. So the question remains, do you think we should put home ec back into the school system? I'm certainly very supportive of that. I think that it would benefit, kids. Again, they would learn nutrition. They could do it much differently, because I don't remember us learning nutrition. I don't remember us learning about calorie counts and stuff. And not that I'm saying it didn't happen, I just don't remember it that way. But I remember, you know, learning how to make a tossed salad. I remember, you know, making a dinner where you would have a vegetable and you would have a starch and you would have a protein. I remember doing all that stuff. Of course, everybody's favorite week was pizza week, right? The week that you made pizza. I remember learning how to make bread. I remember we made butter from scratch, which is easy enough to do. For those of you that don't know how to do it, go look it up online. All you need is cream, a jar, and a couple marbles, and you'd be amazed how quickly you can make butter. A little pinch of salt. But that's it. That's it. It's that simple. So I don't know. Jeff, you live alone. Do you fancy yourself as much of a cook?
No.
Do you cook?
Obviously.
You could be eating out every meal.
A lot of people sustain themselves. Yeah. I mean, I don't eat out. And it's funny because if my parents are listening, when I was younger and I was at home, high school, it was like, yeah, why don't we eat out? Why don't we go here? Why don't we do that? And here I am on my own now, and it's like, wow, I'll stay home and make some dinner.
Yeah, it costs a lot of money to eat out every meal.
That's part of this home ec deal is that, you know, like you said, you can do it much differently. I think integrate technology. I mean, not that everyone can afford a smartphone or whatever, but like you said, you can go onto a website now and count calories, which is how I've self-taught. About how to watch what I eat. And it's funny because, you know, you start watching calories and you realize, hey, fruit's really good for you because, you know, you can eat a lot of it and fill up and then still, you know, realize that you have, whereas like, you know, you have butter and it's like 200 calories. I don't exactly know what a lot of the totals are, but that's important. You start realizing you go to the store and what to buy. Putting together a budget, I think, is really, really important. And that it might be the more glaring need or the glaring problem with why home ec isn't around anymore is people put everything on credit. Well, I'll just put it on a credit card and pay it off later. And it's like, do you realize what, you know, you budget for what you make?
Well, one of the reasons that I love a debit card is it gives you the freedom of a credit card, but the responsibility of dealing or working within a budget, because a debit card comes right out of your checking account. So you're not having to write a check at the end of the month for what you put on that card. It is, for all intents and purposes, and acts, of course, like a credit card, but it is not one. And that's one of the things I love. I don't, by the way, I don't have a credit card, not one.
Yeah, me either.
Don't have one. Don't want one. Now, I have a debit card, and I use it as a credit card, which is fine. But then, you know, when I need or want something, if I can't afford it, I don't want to extend myself. Now, let's go back to this cooking thing for a moment. When you go home for dinner, when you go to have dinner tonight, what will you make yourself?
I have no idea. I have frozen chicken breasts in the freezer. I put those together. Salad. I have these things called salmon burgers. Really good. It's salmon, but it's formed in a patty.
Right.
and eat one of those. I mean,
so you're doing a little bit of cooking. I mean,
I don't put
maybe
together
not from scratch,
meals.
Right? But you live by yourself. Most people that live alone aren't putting themselves together a four course meal. I mean, most people aren't going to do that if you live alone.
Right.
So, yeah.
And Kroger, I mean, not to give them a plug, but they have these things called Meals Made Simple. Put them in the microwave. And they're not microwavable dinners. They're like stir fry, stuff like that. They're really good.
So they're a microwavable dinner.
All right. So, but they're not like the tray, you know, like you think. You know,
no, I know what you're saying. I was just messing with you. Well, again, I think that it's a basic skill set that everybody should have, man or woman. I happen to have grown up in a household where, you know, in a lot of Italian households, the center of your universe is the kitchen. Everything happens in the kitchen. You eat in the kitchen, you conversate in the kitchen, you congregate in the kitchen. The kitchen is the center of your universe. And so just by being in the kitchen, you learn how to cook. Now, of course, I had parents and grandparents that loved to teach as well. They, you know, if you were curious and you wanted to do it, my grandmother especially, on my mom's side of the family, we saw her quite a bit. She loved to teach us how to cook. She did everything from scratch, Jeff. Every single thing in that house that was cooked from scratch. There was no open a jar, open a can, unless that jar or that can was an ingredient in something else. That's just the way it was. So I learned to cook at a very young age. And, you know, I don't think I'm the greatest cook in the world, but I certainly can hold my own in the kitchen. And I feel that way about my children. My son Anthony, who's 20 years old, we had him make dinner for us a couple weeks ago because I was going to be delayed. Ann wasn't going to be home from work in time. And he put together one hell of a nice meal. So, you know, I'm proud of the fact that my kids have that skill set. So anyway, that's that. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about our Monday morning, September 12th radio show. We will be, of course, commemorating the September 11th atrocities, tragedy on the 12th, because the 11th is actually a Sunday and we won't be on air. And we want to engage you in that show. And we're going to tell you, Jeff and I are going to tell you about that and how you can get involved, because we want you to truly be involved in the show that day. And, of course, we're open lines. Feel free to call us, 888-552-3595. Tony Trupiano with you. We're going to take a very quick break here. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
They want to see two girls come together and have a mud wrestling fight. And I think that this race is wide open.
On 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Joe Ashton, UAW Vice President in charge of General Motors negotiations.
This contract doesn't only encompass the UAW. It's also the politics involved, because we wouldn't be here without the Obama administration loan. And now it's a success story because GM has came around. They've made a considerable amount of money over the last couple of years. And when that was going on, there was quite a few people that wanted us to fail, quite frankly.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And first shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And, of course, on Twitter, we're encouraging you to connect with us through Twitter at Tony Trupiano, the at symbol TONYTRUPIANO. If you are not familiar with Twitter, you haven't signed up yet, there's your excuse to go do that. Jeff, we're putting together what we're hoping is going to be a pretty special show for September 11th. Of course, September 11th itself is on a Sunday. So we will be doing ours on a Monday. Now, we are going to be suspending our regular course of programming, although Mark Brewer is certainly welcome to join us. He will not be on at 8 o'clock necessarily because, frankly, we'd like to give the audience an opportunity to get on the show, Jeff, and share their reflections of that tragic day. In, of course, on September 11th, 2001. Certainly, we all have a story. If you feel like you would like to come on the show, either tell your story or share a story or a remembrance or you have some connection to September 11th, you're more than welcome to do that. What we're asking folks to do is to send Jeff an email, and he will schedule a time for you to spend a little time with us on air. Now, you're also going to be able to do it by calling in, and you're going to be calling in to do this, or we're going to be calling you, one or the other. But the point is, you know, we know there has to be some really interesting and intriguing stories out there, and so we're trying to kind of tap into your collective consciousness, if you will. So, Jeff@thetonyshow.org, and Jeff will get back with you and set up a time on September 12th between 6 and 9 where you can share your story. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that I'm sure we're going to have a nice response to this. I'm sure it's going to be everybody's going to want to do it before, you know, not in the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to try to accommodate as many people as we possibly can, but the reality is I'm sure the latter 2 hours will fill up a little bit quicker than the 6 o'clock hour. Keep in mind that we podcast this stuff. People do go back and listen to it. It's something that you'll be able to save and share with other people as well. So I really would like you to put some serious thought to getting involved with us that day. And telling your story. Again, Jeff@thetonyshow.org. Did I explain that properly, Jeff? Is that the way we wanted to do this?
Yeah.
And now's a good time to ask, huh?
Yeah. No, actually, everything you said was exactly right on point. That's what we want to do with the Monday show is basically, I mean, and we're going to have a lot to talk about anyway, coming off of the weekend where you're already starting to see a lot of people or a lot of networks gearing up and saying, you know, doing a special. We'll probably bring in some of that audio. But more importantly is the people in this area and how they feel about what happened at 9/11 and how they remember it now being 10 years, which just seems like, you know, not that long ago that this happened and 10 years has gone by already. So we'll even talk about how far we've come since then. And if you feel like, you know, the country has made strides that we've actually, you know, you can say we've come together at certain points and the other times maybe we've forgotten the togetherness. So it's not necessarily just your thoughts and feelings on the day, but, you know, all your thoughts and feelings on where we've come since then as well.
Yeah, well, and certainly, as we know, the political climate has changed radically. You know, the conversation this morning on the program. You know, things are different, and so yeah, we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to the show that day and the kind of suspending the rules and just we'll see what happens. You know, and all things being equal, I hope we have such a fabulous response to this that we don't have time for anything but your audio, folks. You will be the audio for the show. But either way, we'll certainly be prepared. Hey, great, potentially great news, Jeff. I posted this to the Facebook page, the First Shift Facebook page yesterday afternoon. An article in the Free Press came out. UAW President Bob King said that the union is working on a new formula for income for its members, workers in contract talks with the Detroit 3. Bob King, who was on another radio show yesterday, said that he wants to boost entry-level workers in contract talks with General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. And, of course, under the current contract, which expires really just 8 days or 7 days from today, a week from today, GM, Ford, and Chrysler at this point can hire entry-level workers from for $14 to $60 per hour or about half the $28 per hour average wage of traditional workers. This is called a two-tier system, Jeff, as you know, and there's been some controversy surrounding the two-tiered system. In fact, there is a faction of the UAW that has really kind of splintered off and is trying to hold the UAW union itself accountable to eliminating the two-tier system. Kind of got to go back and remember our history on this. It wasn't that many years ago where, you know, there's a reason that that happened. There was a time when the UAW agreed to help the auto companies avoid bankruptcy. The federal government was coming in to provide some loans, some significant loans. There was going to be restructuring going on, so the UAW, being the great men and women they are, said, we are willing to take the sacrifice. We're willing to do this, but it can't be forever. Bob King recognizes that. Joe Ashton dealt with this issue when we had him on the show a few weeks ago. So the good news is Bob King believes that it is moving in that direction, and he went on to say, and let me quote him, we think that we can increase entry-level wages. We are looking at a kind of a new formula for annual income for workers, and I think there is a common desire to make sure that everybody working for the industry is at a middle-class standard of living, which is key, of course. Bob King also downplayed but did not rule out reports that buyouts could be offered as part of a new contract, and he went on to say, and again I'm quoting him, we are looking at a number of different things, but there is no major push on buyouts. He went on to say, it's possible, but it is not the main focus of in terms of bargaining at this point. So we will see what happens a week from now. I told you that, to me anyway, it wasn't outside the realm of possibility that they could extend the contract deadline. There's no question that could happen. And if they're making some pretty significant positive progress, and I wouldn't be surprised if they extend that to some degree. I'm not saying that I have any kind of insider knowledge on this. I do not, not in any way, shape, or form. Of course, Cindy Estrada is scheduled, her next scheduled the visit with us, I believe, is September 20th, which is not only after the auto talks, but also the state contracts expire before then as well. So there will be a great deal to discuss with her. Now, if they indeed are extended, the contracts are extended, well, that'll change the conversation a little bit, but we'll see what happens. All right, Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press on the other side of him. I always look forward to Wednesday mornings. I really enjoy talking with Stephen Henderson, just an amazing guy. I think he's been a real asset to the program since we brought him on a weekly basis, and really feel blessed to have him. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break here. Russ is coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Trupiano on First Shift here on 1310 WDTW. Let's take a quick break, fill up our coffees, and let's meet back here in just a few minutes.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. This total traffic update brought to you by Lakeside Mall. Accidents are popping up all over out there. 94 Westbound at West Grand Boulevard. We have an accident there blocking the right lane. 696 westbound after Telegraph. We have an accident there. Traffic is backed up to Evergreen. 96 to Jefferies, westbound after the Southfield Freeway. Shoulder is blocked there. I'm Russ with traffic.
Lakeside Mall's Family Recess event is Saturday, September 10th from 1 to 6 p.m. There will be exclusive offers, games, and prizes. Spend $150 and receive a $20 mall gift card. Offer valid while supplies last. Conditions apply. For more details, visit shop-lakesidemall.com.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service. Showers likely today, especially out there on the east side where some rain is already falling. Mostly cloudy, a high near 69. Tonight, showers again are likely cloudy, a low in the upper 50s. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, more showers, a high near 71. Currently, it's 57 degrees, and maybe some sprinkles are starting to fall there at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Trubiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
In the state, CNN's Jim Spellman reports firefighters finally have partially contained a large fire near Austin.
They made some progress. 33% contained now. They took advantage of low winds and cooler temperatures to get in there and build these fire lines and get rid of some of this fuel, some of this dried vegetation to try to stop this fire. They're far from out of the woods here, though.
States in the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast might get drenched again. Forecaster Bruce Terry says the remnants of Tropical Storm Lee could bring very high rain totals over the next couple of days.
In some places, there could be isolated amounts of 8 inches or more. That would be mainly in Pennsylvania.
Many of these areas are still drying out from Irene. Three National Guardsmen were killed in the shooting in an IHOP restaurant in Carson City, Nevada. Sheriff Ken Furlong says the guardsmen may have been the targets.
I believe at this point in time we have established that they were all wearing either a full uniform or a partial. They were visibly identifiable.
Police say a gunman with an AK-47 killed four people before he took his own life. President Obama's jobs plan is expected to include $300 billion in new spending and an equal amount of spending cuts. Steve Bell with the Economic Policy Project says it's not aggressive enough.
If you want to have a net growth program, what you need to have is a substantially larger tax cut in the form of a full payroll tax holiday, both employers and employees, for 12 months.
The president will outline his plan tomorrow night. You'll be seeing a lot of the Republican presidential candidates over the next 15 days. The first of three scheduled debates is tonight at the Reagan Presidential Library in California. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
I'm in the, we use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Notice things are different now that you're a little older? Lower energy, more fat, it all could be the signs of testosterone levels dropping. We can boost testosterone by 61% with Ageless Male, a safe, natural supplement that helps you maintain normal, healthy testosterone levels. Be an Ageless Male. For your risk-free trial, 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987.
Wall Street bulls may get back to work this morning after bears have ruled stock markets so far this month. After a third day of red ink yesterday, stock futures are showing signs of a rebound. S&P futures higher by 12 points. NASDAQ ahead 25, Dow futures gaining 111 points, following global stock markets to the plus side. Yahoo may lend some support to Wall Street gains this morning. Its shares rose in after-hours trading following the announcement that Chief Executive Carol Bartz was out as the Internet search engine. Now, after a two-year reign, impatience was growing with Bartz's ability to turn Yahoo around. She'll be replaced temporarily by Chief Financial Officer Tim Morse. There are also big changes at Bank of America as it tries to navigate choppy global markets and the mortgage mess. Two senior executives are out, Sally Krawcheck and Joe Price. Bank of America shares are rising in early trading. Oil prices also rising, gaining more than a dollar and a quarter now. We're at $87.28 a barrel. I'm Steve Potusk from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If I set it free,
I wonder how far it will go.
We're CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans across the country to what matters most. We're committed to providing better service with consistently fast speeds and five-year price lock guarantees. And since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest, straightforward service delivered by real people who are happy to help you explore what's next. See how far you might go. CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com. Oh, give me freedom.
We're fashion retailers.
Wine wholesalers.
A surgical implant company.
We are mid-sized businesses.
We're working with IBM and their business partners.
To fuel innovation and a new economy.
And to wield the influence that once belonged to only the largest enterprises.
Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
Let's build a smarter planet.
See how IBM and our business partners are helping to build the engines of a smarter planet at IBM.com/engines.
I'm in the, we use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Notice things are different now that you're a little older? Lower energy, more fat, it all could be the signs of testosterone levels dropping. We can boost testosterone by 61% with Ageless Male, a safe, natural supplement that helps you maintain normal, healthy testosterone levels. Be an ageless male. For your risk-free trial, 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987. 1-800-289-2987.
Every minute matters.
It's about taking action that makes a real difference in real people's lives.
Time to engage.
How does it feel to wake up this morning and be the most hated man in Michigan?
Target locked.
I have a bold vision for Michigan's future.
And people are saying, well, they're getting this huge break. Well, I don't believe that's really true. Shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice, shared sacrifice.
Ready the Snyder Fighter.
It is time for a new era. It is time for
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody, to the third and final hour of this Wednesday First Shift program. You got the short week. Man, it's already Wednesday, which in and of itself is kind of blowing my mind. Hope everybody's having a good morning. I want to thank you all for punching in with us on this early Wednesday morning. We've got a great half hour in front of us. We've got plenty of time as well for open lines as we explore lots of issues this morning, as we already have. I am going to address, because some of you have written and asked me about the email that I received earlier today, and it's kind of difficult because I can't read it. Let me think about how to do this, because it's very racist. It's about the president. It's very racist. Yeah, and for those of you conservatives that keep telling me that there aren't, none of you are racist, that for none of you this isn't about the color of his skin, I now have proof and be happy to share the email that I have with you. It's disgusting. But I'll figure out how to deal with that a little bit later on in the show. But that's for later on. Let me remind you, if you want to join us at any point, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org is the email address. And, of course, on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. And we are picking up Twitter followers left and right these days. And we're happy to have you all aboard as we're growing this platform, this movement we call First Shift. And of course, for those of you that weren't with us earlier, our hats are finally in. If you go to the Facebook page, you'll get to see Jeff Sportnum. He's modeling the hat on the Facebook page, so you might want to go check that out. If you would, guys, go ahead, give me my intro, and we'll get running.
Joining us now,
editor of the Detroit Free Press, Stephen Henderson.
And he is back. And, Stephen, first of all, let me welcome you back after this after what was a glorious Labor Day parade, which I was a part of. And so I appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
And let's play a little audio from Monday.
And here's what else we said, Detroit. We said that American auto workers could once again build the best cars in the world. So we stood by the auto industry. And we made some tough choices that were necessary to make it succeed. And now the big three are turning a profit and hiring new workers and building the best cars in the world right here in Detroit, right here in the Midwest, right here in the United States of America. I know it. I've seen it.
All right, Stephen Henderson, of course, that's the President of the United States, Barack Obama, just Monday in our very own city. It was certainly an amazing day for the city, of course, to be really what the entire country looking on Detroit on Monday, kind of a neat opportunity for us.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's been 2 years since the president was here in Detroit, so it was good to see him come back and to come on Labor Day, which, of course, here means much more than it does in other parts of the country and in other cities. I was hopeful that he would give us more about the jobs plan that we all know is coming. I thought that this was a great opportunity to really start laying the groundwork for that. But instead, he used it as a way to rally, one of the important Democratic bases, which is the labor movement.
Well, no question. And of course, we had a lot of labor leaders here. Richard Trumka was here. He was just on the show with Stephen last week. Obviously, James Hoffa was here, and we know the controversy that has surrounded his remarks. You know, we've been talking about it on and off this morning. The audience, those that have interacted with us, of course, I understand the bias of my audience. I know who I attract, Stephen. You know, so they're very much in favor of what Mr. Hoffa had to say. But I don't know. I mean, he was talking about getting out and voting. And, Stephen, the problem is, especially Fox News decided not to air the first part of that clip where right. He says, you have a vote. You take that away, and yeah, it sounds pretty threatening. You add it, and it just sounds like activism to me.
Right. Well, I mean, and I think, of course, the right is pretty hypocritical at this point to be talking about anybody being overly aggressive or inappropriate. I mean, the rhetoric we're hearing from conservatives right now about this president, about liberals, about quote-unquote socialism and things like that is really over the top, and is a lot of it is threatening. I mean, I think anyone who denies that this president is not more threatened than any president in history is sort of sticking their head in the sand. So, I mean, you got to consider the source of those things. He wasn't talking about, obviously he wasn't talking about literal violence or taking people out. He's talking about getting rid of some of the folks who are causing real problems from a liberal perspective, who are causing real problems in Washington. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think tough talk from the left is probably something that we need to see right now. I mean, they've got to get their voters out, and the failure of 2010 was about people sitting home. I mean, you had all kinds of people who would have voted for Democrats who just didn't vote. And I think that, you know, what Hoffa was saying and what what the president will increasingly be saying is, look, you have a choice, and you get a choice at the ballot box, and those choices have consequences. If you don't make it, this is the kind of thing that we're going to see what's going on now. So you've got to – if you want something different, you have to do something.
Well, you know, and Stephen, I speak, a couple times a week anymore at different meetings or union meetings, Democratic clubs, and, you know, that part of the message that I deliver – on those evenings where I'm so fortunate to be invited to talk to these folks, is that very message, and I do it in a pretty forceful way. I know I think that people need to understand that, you know, first of all, what I'm saying is sincere. I want them to feel that passion, and to me, this is passion. I mean, it's nice to know that one of, you know, the top labor leaders in the world. I mean, James Hoffa is one of the top labor leaders in the world, Stephen Henderson. I think that his membership needs to know that he's passionate. I think it's important that they know that he's engaged and he's one of them. And, you know, this is the way that men and women in labor are talking in the plant, on break, you know, before work, after work. Why shouldn't he sound like one of them? What's wrong with that?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think, again, his words are being twisted to mean something. You know, I mean, frankly, if he weren't the son of James R. Hoffa, I think people would be less likely to try to do what they're doing. I mean, what they're trying to say is, well, look, here's the link between the two of them, and they're the same, and et cetera, et cetera. What he said was, so let's take some of these folks out. And, you know, in a political context, it's clear that what he means is let's get rid of some of these people who are causing real problems. And I think for labor in particular, the last 9 months has been a real wake up. What's going on in Wisconsin and Ohio, and to some degree here in Michigan, that shows that they're in the crosshairs of this Tea Party movement. People are really questioning the value of organized labor or even the right of workers to organize. And so, you know, I think they would be wrong to take that without offering a fight back.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Hoffa's doing.
And no question, you know, and we were talking again earlier today about free speech, and certainly this is an exercise in free speech. I referenced, as I'm sure you heard, as we were getting ready to introduce you, I got a very distasteful email.
Yeah.
And I think I can safely do this, but I want to share with you the content of the email. And this is what I deal with on a daily basis. And I get these on a daily basis. This one, this is much more vitriolic than I'm comfortable with, but this is what he says, that effing N-word is, you love is an effing communist. I love free speech too.
Right.
Now, how am I supposed to deal with that, Stephen?
Well, I mean, I think, for starters, my inbox at the paper is full of that sort of stuff a lot of times too, as is my voicemail at the paper, and I agree with you that it's inappropriate. You don't know how to respond to it. I don't generally know how to respond to it either. I tend to ignore it. But one thing I think we can all agree on is that this is a very robust part of the opposition to this president. There are a lot of people whose objection to Obama has nothing to do with policy, has nothing to do with politics, has everything to do with being uncomfortable with the idea that there's an African-American man who is the president of the United States. And, you know, Republicans can deny that as much as they want. I don't think that's the position, obviously, of the Republican Party. I don't think it's the mainstream part of the party that has that problem necessarily. But it is part of the party, and it is part of the problem. And what disheartens me is their inability to accept that and acknowledge it so that we can deal with it. The insistence that it doesn't exist is almost a tacit embrace of it. It's almost saying, well, it's not that big a deal. We don't have to deal with that. I would have a lot more respect for the GOP right now if it was standing up and saying, look, we have enough reasons of policy to disagree with this president that we don't even need to get to whether he's black, white, or purple. And that's inappropriate. And I don't think there's anything wrong with people saying that. The fact that they're not saying it is problematic.
No question. It is quite problematic. Much more to get to. A major speech tomorrow. The president is supposed to deliver, well, I don't know what. Stephen and I will discuss that. Stephen Henderson, my guest. He is, of course, the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press, and we will continue our discussion with him right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Trea.
I know the stimulus is unpopular. If we had just done nothing and not spent any more money, as Representative Bachman is arguing, we would have had 16 or 17% unemployment in this country. I mean, we would have had a financial meltdown.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slow travel out there on 75 southbound between Rochester Road down to 8th Mile. An accident on the upper westbound at West Grand. It's blocked in the right lane. Expect some delays as you get close to that. 696 westbound after Telegraph. We have an accident there blocking two lanes. Expect some heavy delays from around Evergreen. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy. Showers are likely as well, as some people are seeing on the east side. A high near 69 tonight. Cloudy, more showers, a low around 59. And then tomorrow, still cloudy, still some showers lingering around, a high near 71. Currently it's raining and 57 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
State Senator Bert Johnson.
I guess I'm breaking it here on the Tony Trupiano Show that I'm in fact going to be running in the 13th district and can't tell you the amount of support that I'm getting from the community. And frankly, the number of people who have called me to say, Bert, here's what you should do based on what we see as the tea leaves saying. So it will be the 13th congressional district. I live in the city of Highland Park. Highland Park is within the 13th district. And this is going to be some kind of ride next summer, Tony. And I invite you to come and take it with me.
Absolutely.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. Yes, Stephen Henderson is with me. He's also the host of American Black Journal, seen Sundays at 2 o'clock on Channel 56 here in Detroit, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. And, you know, I kind of got, Steve, a little bit of trouble with the audience last week when I was talking about tomorrow night's address to the joint members of Congress, when I said this needs to be bold and sweeping and daring, and it's what the liberal in me wants to hear. Our poll question, we do a poll question every day, Stephen, and I asked the audience. And what I got from the audience was a little different than what I expected to get. They said, why don't we wait to hear what he's going to say first before you start making all kinds of bold and daring remarks yourself. Some people are afraid that I'm setting him up to disappoint us. And, of course, that wasn't the goal. But, Stephen, I do want something big and bold and daring and liberal. Yeah, I'm just being honest. That's what I want.
Well, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I think if there's a frustration that people have with this president on the left, it's that he hasn't been as strong an advocate for liberal ideas, particularly on the economy, as people expect him to be. And, you know, he is consistently in the position of giving ground to the right to get stuff done. And I think people are very hungry right now, particularly as we're going into an election year, to hear him, you know, sort of lay down the gauntlet and say, this is how we believe things ought to get fixed. And, you know, he to some extent has to start being the leader of the Democratic Party again in order to energize people to vote for him. So, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I think it may invite a big argument in Washington about what to do or what not to do. But I think at this point, that's an argument that's worth having.
Well, it's not only is it worth having, I think it's necessary to have it. We need to do something, Stephen. We don't add a job in August, not a single job. Sure. In August, we take a look at the unemployment numbers here in the state of Michigan, 10.9%. I have no reason to believe, in fact, I have reason to believe it'll go up again because the summer, the seasonal hiring will have gone away by the time we look at the September numbers. So I don't think in Michigan things are going to immediately get better anyway.
I think we're a long way from things turning the corner here. You know, one of the things that's not going to help is the slowdown in government spending. You know, government spending in any economy is an important part of the economy. It's not everything, but it is an important part of it. In a recession, it's a bigger part of the economy, and it always has been. When you slow that in the middle of a recession, now you slow recovery, you slow hiring. So joblessness and the things that we're seeing, we've been seeing for the last 3 or 4 years, that's going to get worse before it gets better, unless we come up with another idea for stimulating job growth. And that's what people, I think, are looking to the president to articulate tomorrow.
Well, and we'll find out soon enough. I mean, there was even controversy whether or not he needed to have this speech before a joint session of Congress. And I think that we are at such a critical point. You know, again, history is going to look back on tomorrow. And it's going to remember one of two things. It was either much ado about nothing, the downfall of a president. And, Stephen, I really believe tomorrow is about two things. It's about the beginning of the end of this struggle, or it may be the beginning of the end of his presidency. I think tomorrow's that big, and maybe I'm overblowing it, but I really believe it's that big.
Well, I think it is, too. I think if you're this president, if you're the White House and his campaign advisors, you've got about 2 months to affect big policy change to get the economy going in time to claim that there's a recovery going on during the election. So that's a key factor for them to consider. But also, you know, it's just people need to be at work. People need to get past all of this down economic news that's just killing us right now. I mean, this has been a very, very long downturn, and people are desperate, and people are going to get more desperate. You know, as the leader of this country, he needs to start saying, here is what the path forward looks like, and I will fight for that path against, you know, whoever disagrees with me. You know, this is a president who hasn't been fighting that hard, I think, for his ideas about economic recovery in Washington. And you're right, he's got to start doing it now. Thursday night is when the ball lands in his court.
Yeah, there's no question that's true. You know, it's interesting, as I was downtown on Monday for the Labor Day parade, I was blessed to be asked to walk with the members of UAW Local 174, which is Walter Reuther's local. I mean, it's really quite a gift for me, Stephen. I enjoyed that a great deal. The excitement, the energy was just amazing. It was elevated. I haven't seen a turnout for the Labor Day parade like this in many, many years, and I've been going to them a long time. The turnout was fantastic. And so there is some momentum building up to tomorrow, and there were a lot of average, everyday people like me, like my neighbors, that were talking about Thursday's address. So, yeah, I mean, we're not setting him up for anything that he hasn't asked us to set him up for.
Right, and you know, you've got to have there is that excitement, but it's got to have an agenda attached to it, you know, and that's what this White House has not done, is not given the left an agenda that they can go out and say, here's what we're trying to do, here's what we think will turn the economy around. I mean, the Republicans have it in spades. You know, all they talk about are tax cuts. That's their only economic tool for recovery. What we need from the president is a way to answer that, to say, look, tax cuts might be an interesting idea, but it's not as good idea as this, which will which will move things forward faster. I mean, we've seen tax cuts over the last 10 years not create jobs. So the question is, what will? And I think, you know, he's got an opportunity to really get people on his side Thursday to say, this is the way forward. This is what I will.
Well, you know, Stephen, I wish that every Republican member of Congress could have read the two-part series that was in the Free Press that dealt with the plight of the long-term unemployed.
Sure.
I have to tell you, when I got my paper on Sunday and I got a little ritual, I go outside underneath the awning with my coffee. I had a really hard time getting through that stuff. Those stories truly broke my heart. And I know that's the liberal in me, but my friend, I'm telling you, that stuff's hard to read because it's so real and it's happening to real people that live next door to every one of us.
Right. People are being devastated by this downturn. They are losing everything, and especially people here in the state of Michigan. And as that series pointed out, this is not a bunch of lazy people who don't want to work, who want to sit back and collect unemployment or welfare. They want jobs. They're qualified to work. It's that the private sector has not yet reignited that hiring that fuels the economy.
Yeah,
what we've got to do is figure out how to do that.
Just heartbreaking. Stephen, we're out of time. As always, we appreciate and I enjoy this half hour with you. It goes by quickly. Thanks so much for your time, as always.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Stephen Henderson, again, the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press and the host of American Black Journal on PBS right here in Detroit. We're going to take a quick break. We are open lines for the remainder of the show. Now it's your turn. 888-552-3595. Ring us up now. We'll be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still working those accidents out there in 696. First one, westbound at 75. It's on the shoulder. The second one, a little bit worse, westbound after Telegraph. Traffic is backed up all the way to 75. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy. Some showers are likely. Some of us already seeing some showers on the east side. A high near 69, cloudy. Showers likely once again, a low around 59. Then tomorrow, guess what? More showers, more clouds, a high near 71. Currently it's raining at 57 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. As President Obama prepares to address the nation at a joint session of Congress on the jobs crisis, labor is urging the president to rise to the challenge of proposing a solution big enough to deal with the true scope of the jobs crisis. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka at a recent Christian Science Monitor forum said that Obama must act in a big way to help create jobs.
Will he focus on bold solutions on the job crisis, or will he continue to work with the Tea Party to offer cuts to middle-class programs like Social Security, all the while pretending that the deficit is where our economic problems really lie?
Trumka says a CBO report shows that letting the Bush tax cuts expire cuts the deficit in half in 10 years. Putting 14 million Americans back to work would erase the deficit, Trumka says. And Trumka says Obama cannot be a Tea Party president by proposing only what Republicans will accept on the jobs crisis.
If you only propose what you think they'll accept, they control the agenda. I urged him to propose what was necessary to solve the problem, and I hope he does that.
While Obama was in Detroit for Labor Day, UAW President Bob King, Teamsters President James Hoffa, and SEIU President Mary Kay Henry published a newspaper column also calling on the president to create a robust jobs program to put America back to work. The Center for American Progress says that GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney's jobs plan has a fatal flaw: not enough action to stimulate demand. Jesse Russell reports.
In advance of President Barack Obama announcing his jobs plan, Republican candidate and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney unveiled his own. The plan includes 59 proposals that Romney believes will turn around the economy. However, Center for American Progress Economic Policy Vice President Michael Ettlinger said on Tuesday his organization disagrees, as Romney's plan doesn't do enough to address the lack of demand.
The plan is a doubling down on Bush supply-side policies, which not only have been proven failures, but they're clearly addressing the wrong problems in today's economy.
Ettlinger added that small businesses agree the way to turn around the economy is creating demand.
The National Federation of Independent Business survey consistently says that poor sales, which is lack of demand, is the key problem in today's economy, not taxes or regulation. Federal taxes are at the lowest level they've been in more than 60 years.
The president will unveil his jobs plan Thursday during a joint session of Congress.
This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit Labor Radio.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
And that's 35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Got a tweet, Jeff, last night from a listener that kind of cued me into something that City Councilman Gary Brown is trying to do. He's talking about wanting to privatize the city's lighting department. And, of course, you know, the city has had problems with their streetlights for years, and, yes, they're in radical need of upgrade and so on and so forth. But his solution to it is to privatize the department, which, of course, is the wrong idea. You know, and Gary Brown, if you're listening and there is a chance that you are, you know, why do you feel privatization is the answer? Because you believe that the city of Detroit won't have to invest in its infrastructure. It will still have to invest in its infrastructure. And if the city's going to make that kind of investment in its infrastructure, why not let the good union men and women who already service that stuff continue to do such? The privatization is not the answer to this problem. And I don't know why people use blanket privatization as some kind of cure-all or fix-all to what ails us, because it's not. You know, it makes no sense to me, and I'm offended, to be honest with you, Gary. I'm absolutely offended that you would suggest that that is the best way out. It may be the cheapest way out, but cheap doesn't mean better, does it? It just seems wrong, and it seems awfully unfair of you to do that. It's just crazy, you know, and there's this ongoing assault on workers is just blowing my mind. Jeff sends me a story yesterday. The National Association of Letter Carriers President Frederick Rolando was testifying before Congress, and the New York Times runs an op-ed piece blaming the letter carriers for their financial woes. Now, anybody that's listened to the show for any period of time knows that we've covered the, you know, American Postal Workers Union message, excuse me, about the problems with pre-funding their benefits packages. All right, let's do this one more time because I need you folks to understand it. The Postal Service is shackled by having to fund retirement for people that the projected retirement for people that aren't even in the postal system at this point. They're not even in it at this point. So the question remains, why should they continue to overfund this pension account that is fully fluid, liquid, and solvent? It's fine. Yet they're continually shackled with this. Then for the New York Times to turn around and misrepresent what's happening here, it is egregious, and it's offensive at every level. You know, the American Postal Workers Union, the National Association of Letter Carriers, and others are again, they are being inundated with by people with bad information. And the New York Times, come on, you guys are supposed to be a reputable news organization. You're supposed to be doing your research and your homework. Anybody that would know that this is a problem easily solved by giving them their money back, which would make them solvent immediately. In the process, they're being shackled by having to fund this fund. And of course, they don't have the $5.5 billion they need, or they're required to put in there. They don't need to put in there because it is fully funded.
Wouldn't this be like if you say every year I'm going to put $10,000 away for my retirement, and then one year you have some medical bills or maybe your car breaks down or whatever, but you put that ten grand away, and so suddenly you have to file for bankruptcy and get all this legal trouble when really that's your money. Isn't it kind of the same deal?
Well, yeah, no, you need to take it one step further. That yes, that is the same deal, except you're still going to be required to put that $10,000 in there even if you don't have it. And if you don't do it, then you're going to be penalized for it, even though you don't need to put it in there. That's the full story. So that's exactly the picture, Jeff.
No person would do that, though. No, I mean, maybe if you're really, really thinking about your retirement. But even then, if money troubles come up, you use that money.
Well, there's another component to this. The postal workers in their last collective bargaining agreement they negotiated that they could not be laid off. They negotiated that by contract they could not be laid off. Guess what Congress is considering doing?
Laying them off?
Yeah. Are you going to totally disrespect that CBA? Yes, we are. Thank you very much. 888-552-3595. I'm tired of organized labor just being the target. The poster child for the wealthy. And then this is about let's screw the little guy. Whether it's teachers, whether it's auto workers, whether it's letter carriers, whether it's nurses, we don't care. As long as they're a part of organized labor, let's go after them. Let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. My good friend Amir in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my brother. How you doing today?
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good. Nice to hear your voice.
Hey, good to hear your voice too, man, and good for standing up and keep fighting. Jerry Brown, the privatization of Detroit, and this is what I keep telling people, stop privatizing my city. I pay city taxes for city services that I want people to render through the government, not through private organizations. To be quite frank with you, I want them to disband DTE and take it back over and make it a public utility like it should be. So, Jerry Brown and all these other idiotic people that's sitting up here talking about privatization more than likely are going to get their pockets fattened once they leave office. So they're trying to privatize things so that they can make sure that their homes and everything is going to be fine and forget the people that they actually are there to represent.
Well, yeah, that's the part that I find Amir offensive about this is that I don't think people elected Gary Brown to privatize services. I don't think that's what he ran on either.
No, it's funny. I elect people to fix things in government, to make them more efficient. Privatizing them does not fix them, and it does not make them more efficient. Actually, it costs us more, and it makes them more inefficient. So people, wake up, and Gary Brown, if you are listening, sir, won't you quit? Just leave.
Well,
have a good day, son.
Yeah, you too. No, I mean, that's the answer. If he's so unhappy with the way the city's doing it, maybe it's time. Where's his reform effort? If his reform effort is privatization, which it sounds like that's what it is, that's like quitting. Privatization is another name for quitting. If you're elected representative, I don't care what level you serve, and you're looking to privatize something, that's your way of saying that you didn't have the skills it took to lead your organization through that challenge. That's exactly what that says. I'm going to have some CEO come in and quote-unquote fix the problem, whether it's the cafeteria at school or the custodians at school or the parapros at school. Let's just privatize all that stuff because it's too hard for us to figure out how to do it. We don't want to be the bad guy. We don't want to make tough decisions. Let's privatize it. That's all it is. Privatizing is hiding your own lack of skill set. That's what privatization is. Privatization says to your shareholders, your boards, it says to them, I can't do my job. So you need to hire somebody else to do it, and they're willing to take less money because they just want money in their pocket. And then you're going to give me a raise because I actually saved your money when in the end what I really did was fool you. I'm not that great a leader. I couldn't figure it out on my own. So, you know, and I never did ask, you know, the collective good of the group, what's maybe the best way to do this. God forbid you ask the employees what the answer to the problem might be, because they might actually know the answer to the problem. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to give employees, whether it's the letter carriers, the auto workers, the teachers, the nurses, firemen, cops, I don't care who it is. You know, the insanity with the nurses is we need more nurses. We have a nursing shortage in this state. Yet you're going to continue to treat them like crap. You know, we're laying off firemen and police officers when we need them now more than ever. But that's all right. Let's just privatize. You know, why don't we just turn cops into security guards? Don't let them, you know, carry guns. This is ridiculous. This is just wrong. And so if you're going to quit, if that's the way you're going to deal with, by privatizing is another way of quitting, if that's the way you want to deal with something, you know, Amir said it right. You folks need to quit. If you can't handle it, quit. If you don't understand the challenge of what you got into, just admit it and move on. We'll think more of you if you do that. You know, if you're going to be honest, we'll think more of your honesty. Honestly, and really, we will. I mean, listen, if I were to hear an elected say, you know, this is a bigger problem than I can handle. I don't know how to deal with it. I just can't figure it out. So I'm going to resign and let somebody that does get it learn how, you know, teach me how to do it, or let them do it themselves, because I'm getting in the way. I would respect that more than anything, don't you think? I really would. I would respect that a great deal. I wouldn't say, ooh, isn't he weak? Ooh, he can't handle it. I wouldn't say that at all. I would say, no, I think it's wonderful that he or she had enough vision to say, I need to let somebody serve that can actually serve the people of this community, to give them something in which they pay for through their taxes. God, wouldn't that be refreshing if people were just honest? If you don't know the answer, like privatizing the lighting services in the city of Detroit, if you don't know that answer, step aside and let people that do. And I'm going to tell you right now, those people are probably going to be your employees. All right, Dan and Charles, stay where you're at. We'll come back to you right after the break. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. This is the only daily progressive talk show in the state of Michigan. You're going to stay where you're at. We'll wrap it up on the other side of this.
So many of those who have made so much money recently produce very little wealth for others. They essentially pocket the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert.
Mmm, the steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, we got some calls to get to. We've got the last word to get to, and we'll wrap things up on this this Friday. I wish it were Friday. No, I don't, actually. I enjoy this too much. Let's go to the phones, 888-552-3595. Dan in Milford joins us. Dan, what's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Tony. How are you, brother?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Hey, real quick, first, I volunteered with the West Oakland Democrats down at President Obama's speech on Labor Day, and I'll tell you, my faith in the man has been renewed listening to him. I was real excited. So,
awesome.
Good news there. Second, you know what another word for privatization is?
Do tell.
Profiteering. Tony, whenever something gets privatized, you insert the private company's profit margin into the money flow. And so the same services have to cost more because they're going to peel their profit off the top. So don't ever listen to arguments about how it's more efficient, because all that's happening is they're inserting their profit margin into something that should be delivered for cost only.
You know, Dan, I'm just getting so tired of unions being the excuse for everybody's financial problems. I'm sick of it. I've had enough.
Yep, I agree, Tony. As the president said on Labor Day, unions, specifically the United Auto Workers, built the middle class of this country with their efforts and what they fought for. And we all need to step up and get behind them, do more volunteering, and help save them. You know, I mean, because it's in all of our best interest to make sure that we got a strong middle class, and we got to get out there and do something about
Absolutely. Thank Dan so much. I appreciate it, brother. Appreciate your thoughts,
man.
A great deal. Let's get Charles in before we wrap things up today. And Charles, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind today?
Thanks for listening. On privatization, there's studies showing that in the long term that it's not cost efficient and does not save money. But I wanted to comment on the email, which the racist email. The thing about racism is it divides the working class. I mean, that's been the tool, the way it's been used for decades, you know, and the Republican Party started with that Southern strategy with Nixon and then Reagan with the welfare queens, and you know, now the Tea Party is used it, and you see what the result is. They come in, they attack Obama on racism, get elected, and now he got 40 anti-labor bills in the Michigan legislature. So racism is a vile tool.
Yeah, and Charles, let me just make this clear for those that are going to say, yeah, but the racists are just but a small slivered minority of those in the Republican Party, and they should not be taken seriously. BS.
No, listen, those who abide them are also, most of the racism in America is abiding racism, letting it happen, not the violence, but the worst, but the rest of the Republicans are also racist for allowing it.
I can't remember, Charles. I can't remember the last time, and I want to thank you for your call. I can't remember the last time a Democrat or a liberal sent me a racist email and said, you know, the only problem with the liberals in this is they include black people. Never, that's never happened. Never happened. I hope that the FBI follows up with this guy. I truly do. Couple quick announcements. So let me get to the last word first. I think that's the better way to do this.
And now the last word with Tony.
You know, I'm gonna walk away from the show today, perhaps feeling a little more uptight than I'm comfortable doing. So I've made a decision. I'm gonna make a commitment to do a random act of kindness today. I'm gonna make it truly random. I've got some errands to run today. I don't know what it'll be. Maybe it'll be tipping a little more if I go out to lunch or just finding a way to do something nice today, because I just feel dirty. I feel dirty after that vitriolic email, that racist email. I feel dirty from the conservatives that continue to write me on an ongoing basis, that continue to fight for a philosophy and ideology that does nothing but tear America apart. I feel dirty. I feel less than, because my union brothers and sisters are suffering on a daily basis because they are no longer respected. I do love my union brothers and sisters, and I will die in their service if that's what it takes. If you think that's an overdramatization, I don't really give a you know what. Because at the end of the day, this is about the truth, and this show has always been about the truth. And if that makes you uncomfortable, well, frankly, that just means I'm doing my job. So today, there will be a random act of kindness, and maybe you will be the beneficiary of that. If not, well, maybe somebody else, because I'm asking all of you, why don't you do something nice today just to do something nice? And that is the last word. All right. The Sierra Club, tomorrow, September 8th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Kelly Services Building. Their fall season opens up with John Hardig, the author of Burning Rivers, the revival of four urban industrial rivers that caught on fire. John Hardig is the guest. And again, that's going to be at the Kelly Services Building tomorrow evening, Thursday, from 7 to 8:30 at West on 999 West Big Beaver in Troy. More information at michigan.sierraclub.org, michigan.sierraclub.org/SEMG, S-E-M-G. Colors Detroit, Gala Grand Opening is next Monday, the 12th. I'll be there. Starts at 5:30. You can get your tickets at thetonyshow.org. You can just go there and it'll bring you right to the information. But go check it out. Colors. It's going to be a training center. It's going to be a restaurant. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait for Monday. Very much looking forward to that. In fact, we're going to have one of the organizers of Colors on the show tomorrow. Minsu will be with us tomorrow. And don't forget as well, next Friday, a week from Friday, September 16th, 2011, from 6 to 8 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Church Activities Building on Rivard Street in Detroit. It's right across the McDonald's that's by the Eastern Market there. If you're driving down 75 and you're at the Market Mack Avenue exit, you're going to see McDonald's. It's right across the street from there. You can't miss it. Michigan Alliance to Strengthen Social Security and Medicare has a forum. Are you really covered? If you would like to go, well, then go. It's that simple. 6 to 8 o'clock. Amongst the speakers that will be there are Janet Witt, the grassroots manager for the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. How'd I do, Jeffrey? I get it all in?
Sounded pretty good.
All right. Man, oh, man, that went by fast.
It sure did. Like wearing a new hat. Felt pretty good.
Yeah, we got Dave Holtz tomorrow. We got Minsu talking about Colors tomorrow. I'm sure we're going to have all kinds of stuff. You need to, of course, go take care of your car after the show, so I hope that everything goes well for you, because I know how challenging and frustrating. You've put a lot of money into that car. You know, Jeff, and you're almost to that point where you got to continue to fix it because you've got too much invested in it now.
I know. When do you give up on it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I part of me wants to say, hey, dude, maybe it's time you look at a different car. But, again, you've got a lot of money invested in it at this point. So I guess you got to hold on to it unless, of course, they tell you it's going to be, you know, $1,200 or $1,300 to fix it, which I'm not saying they will. Then you'll have a different decision to make.
If they do, I'll just float them a new hat. Maybe that'll tide things over.
That'll do it. All right, folks, you want to see the new hat? Go to the First Shift Facebook page. That's where you're going to find it. All right, that does it for us today. For Jeff and Todd, who do an amazing job, thank you guys so much. This wonderful audience. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. Don't forget to add us at Tony Truppiano on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And as always, I ask that you be well.
The forecast.
Good morning. We're looking at some problems out there on 696 westbound after Telegraph. Two lanes of black traffic backed up all the way to 75. Then 75 southbound between Big Beaver down to 9 Mile. Expect some delays in that stretch. We also have an accident in 75 northbound at 696 on the shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.